Tuesday, Lisa. Taco Tuesday.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Good morning, Chicago. Justin Kaufman here. Steve Cochran Show. Mary Sanborn Boyle and Andy Mazur in studio for Dave Ennett, who is right now somewhere, maybe probably still in the air, going to Norway.
They left last night. I think you said an eight-hour flight.
Eight-hour flight?
Yeah. So
it's got to be more than 8 hours. Right?
He told me eight. I don't think he'd lie.
Maybe he's doing one of those Elon Musk tunnel.
Dave does not lie.
Dave does not lie.
No.
Joe Romano, Pete Zimmerman here as well. Steve Rozanich. So many people.
And Joanne.
Here.
Joanne is in for Mary.
That's right.
Since
Joanne's
Mary's
in for
mom
Mary.
Passed away.
That's right. Thoughts and prayers on that as well. We look forward to having Mary back so we can hear great stories and memories about her mom. Today, great show lined up. We're excited to get at it again today, Tuesday. Mayor Rahm Emanuel will be in studio.
His first visit to our new studios.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. So we'll be talking about the minimum wage, other topics as well.
Is this the first show the mayor is coming in that you've been around for?
I have, yeah. I've never, you know what, in my years, I've produced segments where the mayor has been on, but I've never interviewed him.
Oh, well, he's really good on the radio, and he and Steve have a good rapport, so hopefully they'll let you join in.
I do have questions. So.
I'm excited to see him because his last podcast, The Chicago Way, has Sheryl Sandberg. That's who he got to talk to, and I love her, so I want to.
He does his podcast from the mayor's office with Steve. Steve Cochran was on not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
So will he be doing an official proclamation of our studios today, like proclaiming this WGN Studio Day or something like that?
The mayor of WGN Studios.
That would be nice since we've already had it blessed by a priest.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's the next step, right? Proclamation?
Right.
Or, an honorary street sign.
And then after that would be national holiday, probably.
National holiday, yeah. All right.
Or day. They gave Diddy a day.
Yeah, that's true.
They gave P. Diddy a day.
So you're suggesting WGN Radio Day?
Yeah, or at least a Steve Cochran Day.
Yeah, we fall under the umbrella of Cochran, so that would be beneficial to us.
Yeah, right? I mean, they're giving them away. They just give that stuff away like lead in the water. You know?
it's free.
You know what would be funny is if they did do a proclamation, get one of those old town criers to read it.
Hear ye. Or Bert Nateris.
Yeah, Bert.
The old alderman. Get him in to just read the proclamation. He should be our honorary alderman for the show. I have a number. Last time I called him, he just told me to leave him alone. Okay. So I got to figure that out.
Nice. Yeah, get off his lawn and leave him alone.
Yeah, somewhere along the line it went sour. So
I kind of like someone that's direct like that, though, as opposed to the people that just ignore you.
He picks up his phone, but he also hangs it up. So that's a good combo. Also today, we're going to talk with former chairman of Exelon, John Rowe. John Rowe, of course, a big, prominent donor of Illinois politics, and he has said publicly that he is closing the checkbook for Illinois Republicans until they figure out a comprehensive overhaul of immigration. That would include DACA, what's happening with the family separation at the border, the zero tolerance policy, everything that's involved with immigration. John Rowe has stepped up, a longtime donor to Republicans, to say, I'm not giving any more money until you deal with this issue. So we'll talk with him coming up in the 7 o'clock hour.
I think that's how you get things done, right? When you withhold money.
Obviously, money plays such a big role in American politics to the point that you have to have it to play. So it's great to see that if that's going to be the norm, if that's how we're going to do this, you would be, you're right, absolutely. If you withhold the money, that's a political statement as well.
Yeah, because money does talk.
Yeah, exactly. So we have that coming up as well. So lots of good stuff coming up. We're also Dean Richards, of course, and
we're going to have the Stoneman Douglas student in, Sawyer Garrity.
Sawyer Garrity, who sang the song Shine.
At the CNN Town Hall.
Yeah, so she's going to be in studio as well. Talking about a really interesting program, a pre-Broadway program for college kids.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Talented, and she's got an impressive message that she's putting out there.
And she's a scholarship winner, is that the deal?
Yes, for the program that they're going to do here. We have, I forget who we just had on that was talking about the actress from This Is Us and Young Sheldon. She was talking about the Broadway system here in Chicago being, you know, the best one to be a part of.
So. Well, she's right.
Yeah.
Chicago's better than the other places.
Just so you know.
All the other places suck.
Steve Cochran, ladies and gentlemen.
Everything else sucks. Caesar. We're really good. Everything else sucks.
Justin is going to hit up the mayor for a proclamation for the studio.
Honorary street sign.
Steve Cochran show day.
The Steve Cochran way. How about that? You like way or are you a boulevard guy? Steve Cochran.
Street?
No.
All right.
You can't
Andy.
Go bad,
okay, Andy.
I like
okay,
street.
Street.
It's alliterative.
Well, the other thing is your street.
Yeah.
I'll be open to anything, really.
All right. I like way.
Steve Cochran Boulevard.
And we called it the Steve Cochran.
I also don't see it happening, but I like you know, I like the fact that we'll ask.
You put the in front, so it's the Steve Cochran way.
You want it to be as obnoxious as possible.
And that could turn into a hashtag.
Right. Steve Cochran that's the old way. That's the old hashtag. Used to be honorary street signs. Before the internet, hashtags were honorary street signs. That's
and now you have to get a street sign if you're anybody who's anybody,
right.
Honestly.
So it'll be one of those brown ones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The street signs.
Yeah. The people go, what? Yeah. Where's this thing?
Right.
They get like directions from a hotel concierge. They can't tell where they are because it says it's way.
Delaware Street or Geno's East Way.
Yes, exactly.
Right. Cochran cul-de-sac.
There you go.
There you go.
Thank you.
You want the alliteration?
Put it over by NBC, and then NBC will go, why is this over here?
Yeah, right. Or politically, it'll become politically unexpedient. At one point in your career, it'll be 20 years down the line, they'll be like, Steve Cochran, he's now our president. We don't like him. Get rid of the sign.
How many times have they torn those down? Where they
I don't
just
know.
Become,
they took the Trump one down.
Yeah, and where they just become like, you know, yeah, we did that, but we're not doing that anymore.
It was after the Trump one because it was so embarrassing for Chicago that they changed the rule that aldermen only got a certain amount of honorary street sign opportunities a year. It used to be you could do it. That's what you did. If you were an alderman, full-time honorary streets. That's all you did.
I think there was a Milt Rosenberg way.
There probably is, yeah. But at some point, I think it was after the Trump embarrassment, because I think they did that little thing where they went and they took it down in front of his building, that the mayor, or at least the city, said no more.
Speaking of El Presidente, he was speaking last night at one of his rallies. And,
South Carolina.
There's a chunk that we got to play for you where he calls the Appalachian Trail the Tallahassee Trail. And he makes fun of Mark Sanford for cheating on his wife. This is a guy who's on his third wife and had multiple affairs.
Yeah.
It's exhausting. Top 6 and 6 when we come back.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
It's a big day. On this day in 1974, the first item with a UPC code was scanned at a supermarket in Troy, Ohio. Kids gather around the radio now as I explain to you what happened before. Oh. There'd be prices on items, and you'd have to punch the prices into something called a cash register.
Right.
And then a total would come up, and you would take cash in exchange for the goods you were getting, and you would have back change.
You already lost
which involves math.
The other day, I was at Whole Foods, and they scanned one of those healthy juice things of mine, and no price came up, and they said, what's the price? And I said, $5.99. And they just had to enter it themselves.
You got to think quick. I always take $2 off right away. $3.99.
No, it's always funny, a jewel. When they're scanning and they go on 900 items an hour, right? Yeah. Then they get the one that won't scan and they all go, oh.
Yeah, it slows down.
Oh, I got to punch in like a 9-digit number.
And then
a produce, right, with a 3-digit thing. Yeah, if it's in the bag, they can't always see it.
It's a 4-digit.
Andre
thing,
and I both knew. She was. She told me she was a Jewel. Maybe she was Jewel. I was Dominic.
She worked Jewel. Yep.
And we were both cashiers, so that will haunt us forever. The 3-digit codes on the stem of the broccoli.
How do you do it?
997.
How do you do it?
That's why I shoplift. Yeah, I don't even bother.
You don't even bother.
Do you remember, John, we used to punch things into a cash register?
Oh, yeah.
In
the
big days.
The thing would pop up and say 5 cents, 10 cents.
Yeah.
This was back during the Depression, but...
And they'd count the change out and put it in your hand. And then Thelma Lou would come over and we'd head over to Mount Pilot. The rectangular barcode was a result of many decades of invention and collaboration. It was based on an original circular design by someone named N. Joseph Woodland. He came up with the idea while sitting on a beach, apparently with his children who were idiots. No, that last part is not entirely true. But he did. He was sitting on a beach, and he came up with the idea for the UPC code. That's the only historical piece we have in the top six at six. Union Station's redevelopment could start in a matter of days, adding amenities for 37 million annual passengers. What are they going to get, a Sbarro? What's going in at Union Station?
It's a Uber Sbarro. It's the pizza slices are bigger, and it's $12.
What else would go there?
I don't know what's going to go. I don't know.
Get a Cinnabon and a Sbarro, and you're done.
Blair Kamen, the architecture critic for the Chicago Tribune, did not give a good review to the proposed
architectural design. Yeah, he doesn't like the design at all.
Well, what are they doing differently?
They're building on top of it. It's a weird design where they're going glass on top of
it. It looks like a Lego. A clear Lego is being stuck on top of it.
On top of what, the existing building?
Yeah.
I'll wait to see. I obviously, you know, it's hard on rendering.
That's the artist rendering,
The artist rendering, but Blair Kamen did not mince words.
I get it, the artist rendering, and the artist just phoned it in. He's not even paying attention.
He probably has 60 different train stations around the country all at once. He's like, put some glass on top of them. I don't know.
Next, principals at two prominent Chicago high schools removed from their duties yesterday, pending what officials described as ongoing investigations and how they handled sexual abuse allegations. This stemming from the Chicago Tribune piece of now about a month ago that was really terrific reporting and a great journalism to help shut down this nightmare that's been going on. If principals were protecting teachers or protecting employees who were involved in this or even threatened by this, they're likely to go. And this is the beginning of that wave. Next. Many immigrant families detained after crossing the Mexican border illegally are going to be quickly released if they promise to return for a court hearing. The nation's top border security official has decided reviving, or at least temporarily, the approach that the Obama folks used was the right way to go.
I was going to say, that sounds familiar.
Meanwhile,
Meanwhile,
none of the kids, that's not fair. 24% at last count of the kids that were detained have now been returned. But kids are scattered all over the country, including New York and Chicago.
I don't know what the protocol is. I'm not familiar with how long it takes to reunite. I mean, there may be some logistical pain in trying to get someone who was moved to Chicago or moved to Connecticut back to Texas, or I don't know how that works.
Well, they screwed up the beginning.
Yeah, no doubt. Well, but getting it back together might take more than a week.
I valet parked my car for lunch yesterday. I got a ticket and I got my car back. You know, if it's a kid, give them a ticket.
Give them a ticket.
President Trump campaigned Monday for the state's GOP governor in South Carolina. He's in a close runoff election. Of course, the president made the speech about himself. Speaking of Governor Henry McMaster, Trump told an overflow rally crowd, "It's a horrible thing that happened, and we weren't lucky enough to have Henry win." And they say Donald Trump suffered a major, major defeat at the great state of South Carolina. It was a humiliating defeat for Donald Trump. I don't even know what he's talking about, because the primary, McMaster won by a skosh, and shortly thereafter that, Trump also referred to former Governor Mark Sanford, who he was successful in having Sanford lose in a primary vote the other day. He tried to slam Sanford by saying he was too busy on the Tallahassee Trail. The Tallahassee Trail doesn't exist. There is no Tallahassee Trail. He apparently was trying to reference the Appalachian Trail, which he allegedly was walking on while he was going to meet his mistress in, I don't know, where was it, South America?
The Tallahassee Trail is real. It's from the hotel, that sand trail you take past the restaurant to the beach. I don't know if you guys know that in town.
Oh, that's what it's called? And,
yeah, that's the Tallahassee Trail.
Is that a generic thing for all those?
Yeah, that's
every hotel?
I think it's just in Tallahassee, but you from the Hilton, you walk down that little past the pool.
Oh, well, I stand corrected.
And then into the beach. So that might be what he's referring to.
You got to hear this clip, though, because this kind of sums up who the president is. Roll it.
She was out there campaigning against the guy I've never liked too much. Never liked him too much. I wasn't a big fan. The Tallahassee Trail must be a beautiful place. Unfortunately, he didn't go there.
He didn't go there, and he's actually, again, he's mocking Mark Sanford for having one affair. Yeah. I guess because he hasn't had enough. Trump's had more. Trump's
leading.
That's
classic Trump. I mean, he has done this throughout the time we've known him as a political candidate and as the president of the United States, where he has almost projected his stuff on other people. He did it with Hillary Clinton. He did it with, I mean, we're all, the Russia investigation is a great example where he continues to point to other people who are colluding with Russians and not referencing that he is.
Well, I remember that's just like a pathological liars, you know, have that sort of ability to compartmentalize. When I interviewed O.J. Simpson after he lost the civil trial, and it was for hours. I mean, wow. Literally like 3 hours. I was absolutely convinced, and I said it to OJ at the end. I said, OJ, after talking to you for this long, I'm absolutely convinced that you think you didn't do it. And he said, thank you, man. That's Donald Trump. I believe Donald Trump doesn't think he does 99% of the things he actually does because he's a habitual liar. Next, Megan Rapinoe and Sue Bird are the first same-sex couple featured on the ESPN The Body Issue, now in its 10th year. Huh. So a little bit of a breakthrough there as well. And that's your top six.
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
One other thing to happen last night, which it sort of explains the world we live in now as well. Jim Avila is a CNN reporter who is really tough on the press secretary during the daily briefings and has taken a lot of heat, and Trump has tried to turn that heat up as well. So last night in South Carolina, there were a bunch of Make America Great Again hat-wearing rednecks, yes, screaming at Jim Avila. And whether you like Jim Avila or not, doesn't matter.
He's there?
Doing his job, yeah. And Avila finished his hit with CNN, and then many of the people who were screaming at him wanted to take selfies and wanted autographs.
It's the world we live in.
And he signed the autographs and took the selfies. We get closer and closer to professional wrestling every minute of every day. 628 coming up with the headlines in just a couple of minutes on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Hi, kids. How are you? It's 638. Andy Mazur is in this morning for Dave Ennett, who's on the beginning of a two-week trip with his lovely wife to Norway. In places near Norway, like North Norway, South Norway,
West,
East Norway. And West Norway.
Southwest.
But Andy just said something off the air that caught my ear.
Yeah.
You saw REO.
REO in Chicago.
In Chicago.
Yeah, Friday, Saturday,
the
Sunday
two bands,
night.
They played together?
Yeah, REO opened.
Where?
Allstate.
And you said something, and keep in mind, you're a former disc jockey.
Yeah.
You said something that I didn't expect to hear at any time. REO can still rock. I didn't know REO ever rocked.
Well, hey, they rocked with Riding the Storm Out and a little Roll of the Changes, which was the finale. And I tell you, his voice is still good.
You know about Kevin Cronin?
Yeah, his voice is still... I mean, the acoustics inside the Allstate are a little suspect at times. But, man, they were good.
I'm sure that was a fine concert.
It was a great concert.
Was it, did they play Heard It From a Friend?
Exactly. A little,
what song is
did
that?
Did it sound just like Justin sang it just there?
Take It on the Run.
Take It on the Run, yeah. Baby.
Time for Me to Fly, of course. Some of the favorites.
Yeah, got it.
But I just want to point out that you're getting older.
I'm getting really old.
Because you said REO still rocks.
Yeah. Still rocks. Yeah. You can still rock at the Allstate with REO.
My only question is, how did they set that song up? I want to know how REO Speedwagon sets up. Are they doing like banter with the audience? And they're like, you guys, here's an old one. Heard It From a Friend. Well, and the whole place goes crazy.
He set it up because he said that they were in Chicago when they found out that their High Fidelity album back in the early 80s went number one.
Oh.
But I thought the whole reason for that album was all the band members found out their girlfriends were all cheating on them.
Could be. Yeah, I think that might be right. Yeah, I think that might be right. Yeah,
because wasn't it High Infidelity?
High Infidelity, yeah.
Yeah, High Infidelity.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've been listening to REO Chicago
Rock
Corner.
Critics, yes.
And now, this.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the car.
Kid of the Week every week. Great kids who do great things and make you wonder what's wrong with your own kids. You're about to meet another fabulous Kid of the Week, and don't hesitate to send us information on your kid, a kid you may know, a kid you just want us to know. In this week's Kid of the Week, 9-year-old Nadia. Good morning, Nadia.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good.
Are you excited to be on the show?
Yeah.
You sound super excited. Have you ever been more excited than this?
No, I wouldn't say so.
Never, ever, ever. What do you do for fun, Nadia?
Go play outside, go to the pool.
Wait, you go play outside?
Yeah.
Well, a lot of kids don't do that. You go play outside. I'm impressed by that.
Do you play sports?
Yeah.
What do you play?
I do soccer, basketball, cheerleading, tennis, baseball.
Holy cow, when do you sleep?
Sleep at night.
Oh, at night. Okay. That seems like a good time to sleep. I mean, even if you're going to sleep.
That would have been surprising if you would have said, I sleep during the day.
Yeah, I sleep at noon. Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Yes, I have two brothers and two sisters.
Are they older, younger?
Older.
They're all. So you're the youngest?
Yeah.
Are they nice to you?
I only have one that's like three.
Okay, which is the one that's nice to you?
My name's Alisa.
Okay, and what's wrong with the other three?
The other...
They should all be grounded. The other three should all be grounded. I think that's our official opinion, isn't it?
Well, one of them's in their room, and then my two brothers, they're with their mom.
Okay, so you don't see them as much.
No, because they have different moms.
Yeah, I get that. No, I understand. That's the way of the world. All right, Nadia, so I'm going to talk about what you did here, but what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a peacemaker. I want to get into politics so I can help change the world.
There you go.
You're getting the rare sitting ovation.
Wow.
I like that. Nadia, at 9 years old, wants to see peace in the world, wants to see people get along. You're a good kid, Nadia.
Thank you.
Here's what Nadia has done so far. Nadia inspired six or seven boys and girls to give up recess at school. Oh, recess. You remember recess?
Yeah. Best
recess
time of
the day. Is great. Yeah. We're thinking about having a recess on this show. Like right around 8, we just go out to the playground.
I know. We were going to play tag.
It'd be totally cool.
We just all sit there. Nobody actually touches anything.
Well, we play tag, but we do it in office chairs with wheels.
Yeah, that would be
good. We don't have to get up. Here's the deal. They gave up their recess at school to knit 20 scarves to give to the homeless and also an abused mother or two and children as well. And they're going to do it again this year. She volunteers for the soup kitchen with her church. She helps out with a program called Just Breathe. Is that Just Breathe or Just Breathe 815?
It's Just Breathe 815.
815, okay.
Come on, Steve.
She helps wash and dry clothing and helps distribute those items as well. And goes to the shelter and plays games with the kids. Nadia, you're special. You're an amazing youngster.
Thank you.
So what inspires you? What drives you? What makes you want to help others?
I would say my mom and my third grade teacher.
Who's your third grade teacher?
Mrs. Vista.
Oh, yeah, I like her, too. She's strong. She's strong. Andy, you had her, didn't you?
I think I did, twice.
Yeah.
Nadia, can I ask you a question? How did you get the six or seven boys and girls to give up recess? What was your pitch to get them to skip what some believe is the best part of the day?
Because since we're, I go to a Montessori school, Montessori is supposed to be a peacemaker school. So me and my teacher were like, what if we crochet for homeless shelters and abused women and animals? And so I told the rest of my class, but some three people still didn't want to give up their recess. But the ones that did, they thought that would be a good thing since we do go to a Montessori school. But even if you don't go to a Montessori school, it's still a good thing to do at home or in the school and to get your students and your teacher to try to do it too. But we just have to ask our principal about it. And the news came in and interviewed us about it.
And now you're on the Steve Cochran Show. It's a big day.
Yes, I would say so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sitting ovation. Sitting ovation, without a doubt. Nadia, I like you. Thanks for being on the show. And I have prizes for you for being Kid of the Week. You like pizza?
Yeah.
I got a Lou Malnati's pizza. Awesome. And also a gift certificate to Apt Electronics, gift card, I should say. And you can go there and, get headphones or pods or whatever. And plus, since you play baseball. Did you say you play baseball, softball? What do you play?
She plays it all.
Baseball.
I have a scholarship to the Chicago White Sox baseball summer camp.
Oh, that's great.
Girls and boys from 5 to 12. How about that, right? You can learn the fundamentals of baseball. Kids of all skill levels and experience are welcome. You can find a baseball summer camp for your own Kid of the Week.
Thank you so much.
At BullSoxAcademy.com. Well, I'm glad you're excited. That's going to be fun. You let us know how it goes, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thanks, Nadia. Nice.
Thanks for being a great kid. I tell you, that kid's something else.
That's awesome.
She perked up when the free perks came through.
Well, she also, she basically gave us a stump speech on peace in our time.
Yeah.
Not bad for a 9-year-old.
That's worth a pizza.
When I was 9, I was drooling on myself.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
It's 6:52 now, and we'll be live in Lyle on Friday morning.
That's right.
Andy, are you going to be with us Friday?
I am not.
Who's doing sports Friday?
I believe Mark Harmon will be there with you.
You guys doing like a tag team thing?
Yeah, I'm gonna work the middle of the week, and he's going to work the end.
Who's working next week?
I think I have another day with you. I think Monday.
Why is it just one day? Is that all you can take of me?
It's all that the boss scheduled me for.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it doesn't want anyone to get comfortable.
Right.
It's very true. And every 2 days, very it drops right. it off. Right.
Like, switch it out.
Already the,
switch
the,
it out.
The computer's keys are all in the wrong spot. Dave has really messed up the sports.
Cracking that whip.
I know.
Head out to Lyle for the annual Eyes to the Skies Festival this Friday through Sunday. All weekend long, we'll be broadcasting live from the festival Friday morning, 6 to 10. There's going to be morning and evening balloon launches, tethered balloon rides, weather permitting, nightly fireworks, a kids area. Live music and 50 unique food vendors and more. You know, it's the and more stuff that'll get you coming back.
Yeah, it always is.
Right? Festival's 100% volunteer, 100% goes to charity, and that's pretty remarkable. Keep listening, and we'll give you a chance to win admission tickets. The Lyle's Eyes to the Skies, details at WGNradio.com/events.
We were talking about the festival yesterday, and I wanted to ask the question about why balloon launches only happen early morning and like early afternoon. They don't launch them during the day, and I don't. Yeah, you'd probably have the answer. And
well,
I don't know.
I mean, but I believe.
And I said, well, we're going to be out there. Because, I'll ask them then.
That's a good question.
Dusk and dawn is when the wind is calmest.
I think that's what they'll tell you.
They backed up Tony Orlando, right?
Dusk and dawn? Yeah. If we have, you know what? If we have sailors listening, we usually have a lot of sailors listening. If you're out on the ocean right now, and by the ocean, I mean the ocean. Definitely call ship to shore phone.
Yeah,
and have the call transferred to us.
Yeah, get the satellite phone on.
Steve, there's actually less gravity in the morning and in the evenings.
Is that true?
Are you being serious?
No, I'm kidding.
Good one, Steve.
Look at me. I told
very good, Steve. I bought it.
I like it too.
I was going to say that's why you should weigh yourself in the morning. Then there's less gravity.
Absolutely. Ah, good call.
Get a better reading. My nieces and nephew are going to be in town this weekend, so they're coming with my kids to the. Podcast.
Oh, great. Yeah.
And they're getting to go up in a tethered balloon ride. Oh, my God. There's a man eating cereal without a shirt on behind Justin.
Okay, focus.
I'm sorry.
By the way, the man eating cereal without a shirt on is in the apartment building across the street.
I was going to say, you're talking about me?
That's not
I'll
the
put
most,
my shirt back up.
That's not the most outlandish thing we've seen since we moved
this
over.
This is how we did it at night here on WGN, is just shirtless cereal eating. I'm sorry. Yeah. I didn't mean to offend.
Thank you. Sorry about that. But so they're going up. All my kids and my nieces and nephews get to go on one of those tethered balloon rides.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty much the coolest aunt ever.
No
right
doubt.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt.
Mary is also making her famous chocolate chip cookies this week for them, so you better expect it.
So there's going to be a lot of kids at the broadcast.
Yeah, well, I'm bringing 5.
Have you thought about making maybe, I don't know, 12 dozen extra and just bringing them by work?
I am making cookies, so I think I'll make them Thursday.
Have you had the cookies?
I haven't had the cookies.
Oh, my God. It's like a random. Let me tell you something. You get the cookies, you may be on this show.
If I get a
it's co- like a rite of passage.
If I get one cookie.
Yes.
That's all I need, one cookie.
You'll see me in that building across the street eating them without my shirt on.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's fascinating because I've never seen you pull a me. That's like a me move that I can't focus.
I know. Well, I'm sorry. It's right in my view right now. Yeah. Sorry about that.
There's an apartment building behind us, and from my position anyway, where several people leave their windows open. They leave their windows open to get dressed. They like having the sun come in the morning. They probably don't know that this highly popular radio show is talking about their nakedness.
It's not as fun. It's probably a lot more fun at night, not only because you can see what people are doing with their life.
People are doing night stuff.
Play by play it. Be like, look at that person getting ready. And all we get in the morning is people sleeping or getting up shirtless and eating cereal.
No, we're getting people getting dressed.
There is one lady that's three apartments down from the guy who's eating cereal right now who flops around in her bed because she sleeps with the curtains open, and she's always flopping around with her pillows and things.
And a funny thing about her flopping around is the sun comes up over the lake pretty much every day, and they haven't moved it. And it blasts into her apartment, and it seems like she wouldn't flop around if she didn't have the sun
if
blasting into her apartment.
She could just draw the blinds. I know. Yeah. I don't know why she wants it open. The guy, the apartment above the guy.
Let's go through every apartment.
They've got a zero gravity chair thing. You could see it, like thing where you tip upside down.
You know, we need a MyPillow. Maybe that's why she can't sleep.
You know what? That probably is.
Let me. Let's do this. Let's get a some storytellers, some poets in Chicago. I know a couple. Steve, you're gonna love them. And we'll have them stand in the window and write the story of this building. Right? That's what I want. I want
did
an artistic.
You, did you bump your head?
I want an artistic, just like a room with a view, whatever it might be. The old these apartment noir type. But there's stories.
There's an office or an apartment. We can't tell what it is because these are apartments. But it's like a hoarder's place.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff in that one.
And then there's a bicycle thief a couple of floors below that. Look, there's like 500 bicycles in that one room.
We're not doing this building justice. Let's get an award winner. Let's get a Pulitzer Prize winner in here to write. This is Chris Borelli from the Tribune to write what he sees.
I love that.
Right?
That's good.
Yeah, you guys should do it on a show.
Steve art. Why would Steve? No, why would we do that?
Andy Mazur's here. You doing the White Sox tonight?
Yeah, White Sox tonight, 6:35 pre, 7:10 first pitch.
Coming off the Sunday win?
Yeah, split it with the A's. It was a pretty nice win on Sunday.
And who are they playing?
They'll be playing the Minnesota Twins for the next three nights.
Twins any good?
Twins, fledgling. Get a little bit above the White Sox. White Sox are not in last place, by the way. The Kansas City Royals are.
That's what we're going with.
I'm just saying, there's a lot of people that's you're looking for silver linings. They're not in last place.
I have to say, as a White Sox fan going to the game on Saturday, they are two position players away from having a lineup that can compete with the Cleveland Indians. They have the bottom of the order is the guys that are minor league call ups that aren't going to be there, and those are the Eloy Jimenez and the Luis Robert guys. Who are going to play. But I'm telling you, man, the lineup is stacked to the seventh hitter.
When are we doing an interview with Cuban?
I'm not sure. Our boss, Stephanie, was putting in the request yesterday.
Yeah, we need to interview a Cuban, the three prime Cuban players on the team, and we're either going to have Lourdes Duarte, my favorite Cuban, do the translation, or we'll bring in a Cuban from the bullpen. Yeah, one or the other. So what time again tonight?
6:35 for the pregame and 7:10 first pitch.
You enjoying working with Ed and DJ?
Yeah, they're fun guys. You know, Ed was at the Chicago show as well. Chicago and REO.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, we didn't go together, but he was there at the same time.
Oh, you guys are really getting along.
Yeah,
but that's a packed show. Ed Farmer and Andy Mazur.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
The Rock and REO.
I think Ed had better seats than me.
It's a minute before 7. We're coming back with the news next, and then we'll talk about this. This major coming to town at Exmoor with my friend Vince Pellegrino, and I'll do the thing I always do, which is complain that there's not more professional golf in Chicago. We'll get to that coming up.
Obviously, you're not a golfer.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
7:10, John Rowe, CEO of Exelon, coming up. We're actually going to talk about politics with John Rowe. And Mayor Rahm Emanuel after 8 o'clock. Mod Pizza in Naperville in particular, but it's a big chain around the country now, as you probably know. Mod Pizza is doing something pretty remarkable in Naperville in particular. We'll talk about that. And from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Florida, we're going to talk to the young lady that sang Shine on CNN.
Yeah, Sawyer Garrity.
And she's coming in. So awesome. busy broadcast, including my pal, Vince Pellegrino's here. Vince is Senior VP of Tournaments for the Western Golf Association. How have you been?
Pretty good. Not too bad. Looking forward to a busy golf season.
Nice to see you. And the pros are coming to Exmoor. This is a major on the Senior Tour, the Champions.
Yeah, it is. It's the Constellation Senior Players Championship. It was played in Baltimore last year. Really exciting. I mean, some of the greatest names in PGA Tour Champions Golf, like Kenny Perry, John Daly, Scott McCarron, who's been playing amazing.
Yeah, he was on a show with us, a month ago or so.
Yeah, and just a lot of really good names. Miguel Angel Jimenez,
Easy for you to say.
Exactly. So we got a lot of great players. Fred Couples, we're expecting him to come out as well. So the guys you guys grew up with watching, and you know the best names in golf.
Yeah, and as I said to Scott McCarron when he was on, the thing I like about it is it's a little looser atmosphere. There's great fan interaction, but these guys are still competitive as hell.
Yeah, and I think. Week in and week out, you know, they're out there competing at the highest level in their sport. And I think it's, you know, on Wednesday and the Pro-Am day, they're really laid back, signing autographs. I mean, you can get some pretty good access to these guys. And even after the rounds and before the rounds on Thursday through Sunday. But the competitive juices are still flowing out there with these guys.
This is a big fundraiser for Evan Scholars. And the Western Golf Association does the Evan Scholar Foundation. And every golfer who cares about the game ought to make a contribution every year to Evan Scholars, whether they're doing it at your club or not. Just go to the Western Golf Association website for that. But for those not familiar, explain who Chick Evans was and why this matters.
Yeah, so Chick was a famous amateur golfer. He won the U.S. Amateur and U.S. Open in the same year. It was back in 1916. And Chick grew up caddying here in the Chicagoland area. He went to Northwestern, and he only went for a couple years, but couldn't afford to stay in school. So he ultimately, his dream was to start a scholarship for caddies that would be able to give them the opportunity to go to college on full tuition and housing scholarship, which is what the Western Golf Association sponsors right now. And we've sent over close to 11,000 kids to college on full tuition and housing scholarships.
What's the graduation rate of that?
It's 98%, somewhere in that. I mean, it's amazing. We had our annual meeting yesterday, and every single scholarship house that we have, so there's 965 kids in school right now, received over a 3.0 GPA. So everyone, the average is amazing. So the kids are excelling.
You're saying it's not working.
Yes, it does sound like it's struggling. Yes.
Yeah.
98% graduation rate, yeah. All of those people put through school. I mean, you know, listen, that helps all of us, right? That helps all of us. Like Dr. Kevin Most.
And myself, I was an Evan Scholar. Yeah. I went to Indiana University, caddied here in Chicagoland area at Riverside. And it's a life-changing opportunity for a lot of kids. And,
did you ever caddy for Larry Wirt?
I have, yeah.
Bad tipper.
No, he was pretty good.
Oh, okay. We could have rolled it. Could have played along.
No, it's great. And that's what I think what needs to be told, the story of golf, is that no matter if it's the BMW Championship or if it's the Constellation Senior Players Championship, all proceeds benefit charity. This one happens to benefit several charities, one of which is the Evan Scholars Foundation. So, you know, if you come out and you support the championship, you're supporting charity.
Hey, Vince, I was thinking of my time in high school when I was in, that would have been
you never
late
caddied.
80s. I didn't caddy, but the golf team was a small part of our high school. It was 8-9 kids who were put together. And I guess over time, as the sport gets more popular and obviously gets more attention, those teams get bigger and bigger in high schools all over the Chicago and the Illinois area. How important is it to have strong golf teams in high school for the sport and, of course, for the ability to get scholarships in college?
Yeah, I think if you talk to anybody who's in the golf industry, you know, one of the main goals is to grow the game. You hear grow the game. And part of that is to get kids introduced to golf, and whether it's through their high school team or through, you know, at the championship, at the senior players, we let kids in for free. So, you know, it's obviously kids are out of school. It'd be a great opportunity to see some of the best players in the game, but that's the idea. And getting kids introduced to golf at an early age, you know, I've got three daughters, one of which loves to go and hit golf balls at the range, but just getting them introduced into the game, it's a lifelong game that whether you get the Evan Scholarship or you caddy or you play in your high school golf team, the game of golf can teach us so many lessons just beyond, you know,
there's
just
nothing like
a scholarship.
It. There's nothing like it. No. There's nothing like it. It's the greatest summer job a kid could have. Andy?
I was just curious, too, if the lack of tournaments around here now kind of hurt that development, because kids don't get a chance to see it up close. They see it on TV, but they don't get to go out and watch how good these pros actually are in person.
There's nothing better than seeing it up close and personal, and watching them and seeing their practice habits and how they interact with the fans and really how good they are. But yeah, I mean, We have the senior players this year. The BMW Championship is coming back to Medina next year in 2019. But we just had our Western Junior Championship, which are 16 and 19 year olds at Evanston Golf Club last week. And it's amazing how good they are at such a young age. And the Western Amateur is another event that we host that's coming to Sunset Ridge at the end of July. I mean, these are all good opportunities for kids. You know, it doesn't have to be professional golf. You know, they can come out and watch amateur golf.
KPMG is at Kemper, I think, this week, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so that's another opportunity. But the tour needs to bring more events to Chicago. That's my constant whine.
We're going to take care of that next year, Steve.
Yeah, so...
Well, and this year, obviously, with the Champions Tour.
Right, and the PGA Tour Champions does have the best of the game and some of the biggest names, as you had mentioned. But in addition to that, the Pro-Am, which many of you listening are probably going to be able to compete in, is going to be on Wednesday, July 11th. I will be there. And by the way, I have the honor of doing the pairings party the night before, so I'm looking forward to that as well, and thank you for asking.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity. It's amazing the support we've received from the golf community for this event. The Pro-Am was sold out several months ago, and we're having a party to see who we're playing with, who the amateurs are playing with on the night before. But the Pro-Am starts off tournament week July 11th and goes through the 15th, and that's really when you get up close and get autographs, and the pros are pretty laid back.
The way it normally works out, and I think you know this, Andy, is the names are randomly drawn.
Correct.
But in the case of they find out they're playing with me, they do get one pass. The Constellation folks, they've been great partners.
They've been great. They've been credible to so many charities. You know, we've got other charities that are associated with the tournament alongside the Evan Scholars Foundation. They've donated $11 million for charity since they've started the championship in 1992. They're supporting the Habitat for Humanity, Special Olympics, Girls in the Game, and Big Shoulders Fund.
That's nice.
You know, so it's really a community event. And like I said, you support the tournament, you support all these great charities.
Evan Scholars, be a great academic example to your friends and work hard and caddy. You might get college paid for. It's a great way to learn the game, learn about life. And also scholarship your way into whatever school you end up going to. And you have put people in every facet of life.
You know, a couple fun facts. The Sam Allen, who's the CEO of John Deere, is an Evan Scholar. Went to Purdue University.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and Tom Falk, who's the CEO of Kimberly-Clark, is another Evan Scholar. And so we've got Evan Scholars through all walks of life. And you mentioned Doc Most, who's on the show every
Monday. It's a neat club to be in, I'm told. Because once you're an Evan Scholar, you're an Evan Scholar for life, whether it's paying it forward to future classes or helping kids get jobs when they come out of college, whatever.
The networking, you know, like I said, over close to 11,000 have received a scholarship. I got my first job through an Evan Scholar alum coming right out of school. So, I mean, the network is really unbelievable, and it's a fraternity for life.
You can support it, whether you're a golf fan or not, by going to the Western Golf Association website. Is that the best way to make a contribution?
It is, WGAESF.org. And if you're looking for support of the Senior Players Championship, you just go to cspgolf.com. So Constellation Senior Players.
ConstellationSeniorPlayers.com, and you'll be able to get tickets and information on the event, which is not far away now, just 2-3 weeks.
July 11th through 15th.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll see you there. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you bet. Vince Pellegrino, he is the Senior Vice President for All Things Tournament at the Western Golf Association. And if you're putting together like a tournament with 4 or 5 of your friends, yeah, he'll set that up too. Just call him. We'll give his cell phone out.
I was just so disappointed that it's the program's a failure.
Yes, as you've tried to establish. You're never going to be an Evan Scholar with your bad attitude to cost. I'll tell you that right now. You're going to pay your way through college.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Don't let me down. That steady old Chevy has seen me happy and seen me sad. We cruised through a lot of good times and rolled out the bad. It'll never see a for sale sign as long as I'm around. Your friends may come and friends may go, but that Chevy don't let me down.
Thanks to the Chicago Blackhawks and some Portillo's, a feast over here apparently on Friday. And we have tickets to celebrate the truck. We're giving away stuff every morning at 7:20. And we have tickets to the Blackhawks convention, which is going to be here before you know it.
Yeah.
End of July. So if you'd like 4 passes to the Chicago Blackhawks convention, It's 11th annual. 11 years already.
11 years. That's it feels like it's brand new.
Yeah, it's
I guess
nuts.
That's probably that's a good thing.
Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Hilton Chicago, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest room set up today. Book online at ChicagoBlackhawks.com before they're all gone.
Yeah.
And get her done. All right, so we talked about this yesterday, but Sandberg's taking their truck home for the weekend, I think. And the truck is, oh, by the way, seventh caller? Seventh?
Is there yeah, well, I was thinking Patrick Sharp's number was 10. You know, he's retired. 10, but then you how many times they
and
won.
And I think we can agree,
six.
He is a 10. Always he adorable?
So hot. Three to hat trick, three. Yeah, seventh caller's
fine. Seventh caller's good. All right. Seventh caller. 312-981-7200. That is the phone number. Sandberg is going to take the limited edition Centennial Blue Chevy truck and drive her visiting nephew and niece around and show off.
Wow.
And report back to us.
Is she going to bring the truck to the Eyes in the Sky Festival?
Yeah, we should have it there Friday. Right? It's a good call.
Think of how...
I need a ride. That's all I'm at. I'm just trying to get a ride.
I totally get that. Think of how many cookies that truck could hold.
And the cookies you speak of are?
The Mary's Chocolate
Sandberg
Chip Cookies.
Sandberg Cookies.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they're really good. Really good. We should share some with the listeners. Not chance.
Not happening.
Yeah. We could actually drop those in some sort of plastic bag and mail them to them.
Yeah.
And good luck to you.
It would be an empty plastic bag if I'm mailing them out. I'm telling you right now. Enjoy the plastic bag.
Sandberg's primary duty whenever she's making cookies is to make enough for the rest of the staff.
Yeah.
I was telling her, look. If the show's not ready for tomorrow, we'll work it out, but get the cookies done. So go to WGNradio.com/contest and let us know about, how excited you are about your Chevy Silverado, because you're going to win it. But you have to enter to win it, and the way you do it is at WGNradio.com/contest. We have breaking news of a troubling nature this morning. You know how everything's breaking news now?
Yeah.
This is troubling.
Developing? Is this developing or breaking?
Let's say both.
Okay.
The Wiener Circle.
Developing.
A Lincoln Park institution known for much as much for late-night insults as its hot dogs may have to move. The hot dog stand, stand's longtime landlord, has hired a broker to sell the Clark Street property, plus an apartment building next door. Means the developer, whoever buys it, would knock that all down. The 36-year-old restaurant put up apartments or condos in its place.
I hope the person who's buying it, the developer, is a former Wiener Circle cashier. Like, I just hope it's a story like that, where she's taken so much abuse over her time at Wiener Circles. If you know that hot dog stand, it's you come in and you get to yell at the staff yells at you. It's kind of ridiculous. It's charming to the first.
Hey, loser, you got a pen?
But that's what I'm saying. I just hope that she would be in a position where she could buy it and then be cathartic to tear it down.
Quote, obviously, a 700-square-foot single-story restaurant is not the highest and best use for that lot, says Jeff Bash, Senior Vice President at SVN Chicago Commercial. That's the broker selling it. Many loyal Wiener Circle patrons a little upset about this. It is an absolute past midnight destination for Lincoln Park drunks forever. You know, stumble to the Wiener Circle, throw out an insult, get insulted back. And one of the funniest things Conan O'Brien ever did is when he took Triumph the Insult comic dog and Triumph worked the Wiener Circle. It was brilliant.
Oh,
it was
hilarious. Always like to douse water on every story. The Mr. Buzzkill over here, Mr. Public Radio Buzzkill. But we did a story. I remember this on there. There it gets real racist there, and I mean not the institution, but the back and forth. The women behind the counter are primarily black, and the customers that are coming in are primarily white guys. And they come in and they yell at each other, and the insults are usually funny, and then they go, and then they get a little darker, and then inevitably it becomes just racial slurs back and forth to the customers. And
what do you mean, like yo mama?
Probably worse than that.
Hey cracker, no ketchup for you.
They're racist in the way that they talk to the guys, and the guys dish it right back. And being in the room, but also just overall, it goes from charming, funny, quirky to dark and gross.
Well, maybe they just did it because you guys were there from BEZ.
Maybe no, I've been in there. When I've been in there before, it's the same thing where you're like, oh, this was fun. Now I feel like this ketchup doesn't taste as good because it's racist ketchup.
The Wiener Circle has mocked President Trump in a new Trump footlong hot dog. You know about this?
Yeah.
I heard about this.
The
yes.
Trump footlong hot dog is 3 inches long.
Yes. Yeah. Oh dear.
The cutting political statements of the hot dog stand.
Tiny hands, tiny wiener, tiny heart, free the kids. That's a sign that is up at the marquee. Yeah.
I don't know how to think in the morning. I get on Clark Street and I'm like, I don't know what to think of this news, and then I see Wiener Circle sign. I'm like, I got it. I don't read the papers, I read the Wiener Circle sign.
You're just very bitter about the Wiener Circle. No, you are. You sound extremely bitter.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let me go around.
Bitter. I'm just saying that there's a
Steve. How bitter does he sound?
I would say, like, in the bitterness scale of 1 to 10, it sounds more like a 6. A little bit.
No, I think it's closer to a 9. I think a 9 of bitterness.
Yeah. 7.5.
7.5, John. Yeah.
I'm gonna go low. I'm gonna say 2.
Thanks. You know, DeCoste gets me. That's what gets me.
I want a hot dog. Room. I don't need all the other show.
Have you had the Wiener Circle hot dog?
I have had the Wiener dog. Yeah, it's not my favorite. Not my favorite. They're very racist when they serve me. I don't know if I told you that.
As a cracker?
As a cracker. They go, you want a cracker? And then they throw it at my face.
I like when people call me cracker because I never liked honky.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
The shredding of America where you're right, I'm wrong, I'm right, you're wrong. Screaming at each other, nobody getting along, nothing getting done, takes its toll on everybody. And the horrific pictures of children in cages, and I'm thinking about DACA kids who on the verge of being kicked out of the country. It's just one hot mess. So we're happy to welcome to the show the chairman emeritus at Exelon, John Rowe, who has a voice in all of this because he has been a major contributor and a major fundraiser for politicians in the past, and wanted to be clear on where he's going from here. Good morning, John.
Good morning. Actually, I would describe myself as a major worker in the immigration reform cause. My Illinois Business Immigration Coalition and our brethren in other states believe that treating the immigrants decently is good morals, even better economics. And what we want is a bill that allows people to work, pay taxes, and be constructive citizens.
Without a question. And my question to you then would be, are you less inclined to help with the cash end of this business if a Republican comes calling who's not on board to do that?
Well, I've already said I am less inclined, but that's only a generalization. You know, I'm not in the business of trading dollars for votes. That's illegal. But I am in the business of saying I'll do my best emotionally, intellectually, whatever, to help people who try to treat people decently. And, you know, I would give Senator Durbin, Congressman Gutierrez, Congressman Kinzinger, Congressman Davis, big kudos for working really hard.
There you go.
To try to get these people decently. So, to me, this is not about a political candidate. This is about whether we're going to treat people decently and whether we're going to get the workers we need for our economy.
Mr. Rowe, there are Congress is set to at least introduce some bills and talk about immigration reform this week. Where do you think it stands? Because, you know, as you talk about the Illinois delegation and the names that you just mentioned, some of them have more clout than others. But there is this rank and file concept in Congress and in Washington where they follow the leader. And in this case, the leader is the president. Where do you see immigration reform and immigration legislation going in Congress this week?
Well, the truth is I haven't the faintest damned idea.
None of us do.
I am very much afraid. I know Paul Ryan is trying to do something decent. I trust his motives. But the president gives a different signal every day. And there is a painfully large portion of the Republican Party that treats this as an issue of some sort of chauvinism, and we just have to get over that. And I don't know if it will happen this week. The Ryan compromise bill a week, 10 days ago, was good for the DACA kids, but only a painfully small step on anything else. The rumors we hear are that this week's bill will include E-Verify for the parents, and that's making the DACA kids hostages for their parents. That's just a new version of separating families. And my friends and I are simply not for that. We're for treating people decently, putting them to work, getting them to pay their taxes, and as long as they behave, treating them like the rest of us. And if they don't, they should be punished like the rest of us.
What about some of the common arguments that come up all the time? It's not fair to those who have done it legally, and all the other roadblocks that are thrown up by those who believe that nobody should get in.
Well, there are lots of ways to treat people who've done it legally better than other people. Illegal immigrants can pay a fine. They can go to the back of the line for citizenship. They cannot be made citizens, but allowed to work legally. I mean, there are a whole lot of decent steps in between treating everyone exactly the same, ignoring how they got there, and on the other hand, throwing them out. It's just indecent. I mean, my group was formed to emphasize the economic side of immigration. Our high-tech employers, our agricultural employers, our hospital employers all need immigrant labor. So that was what pulled us together. But deep down, we all feel this is a moral thing. Are you really going to treat people like they're not fully human? And I will not go along with that.
The federal government has had ups and downs when it comes to their stance on immigration. We saw the executive order on DACA with President Obama, President Trump, of course, in the last couple weeks, and after rescinding that order. Where do you want to see the country go? What is a good compromise for immigration reform in the eyes of John Roe?
Well, I think we need a comprehensive bill that takes care of the DACA kids first, but in the end legalizes all of those immigrants who have not committed some other crime. And then we can address issues like, do they have to pay some fine before they can get in the line for citizenship? To me, citizenship is a second order issue. The first order issue is making them safe, enabling them to work, requiring them to pay taxes, and integrating them into the economy. And they can have some second tier status for a while. That's part of the penalty for being illegal. I mean, I've got a brilliant Guatemalan student in my class at Roe Clark who says, look, I know my family and I are here legal, but we work hard and we'll accept a different place in line. So I want to be very clear. My friends and I think that people who commit real crimes should be punished.
Right.
We're not in favor of some blanket amnesty for people who hurt other people.
Your group, the American...
But on the other hand, for people who want to lead decent lives, we want them to be able to come out of the shadows to work and pay their taxes. And we would include E-Verify if people were allowed to stay here legally. Doesn't mean they have to be citizens right away.
Right. Mr. Roe, who, of course, John Roe, the former chairman of Exelon, your group, the American Business Immigration Coalition, a lot of what you've been doing is pushing the economic benefits of immigration, legal immigration. The question I have is, are you surprised by the president's stance? He is a businessman. He has benefited in the past for an immigration or an immigrant workforce. Are you surprised that there's this kind of stance coming from the White House?
Well, actually, I am surprised because every day he does something new and each move is a surprise. And I never know when he's serious and when he's bluffing as a negotiating stance. I'm afraid I don't have a PhD in presidential psychology.
Yeah, I'm not sure he knows either.
Better that you say it than me. But I don't know that he does either. And what troubles me is that all across America, there are people who are afraid of the immigrants. We see that in voting patterns. And yet when they come to know hardworking immigrants, all of a sudden they become their biggest defenders. A great case of that in Indiana. So, you know, this country with its very low unemployment rate is in a perfect place right now to welcome people, to let them do legal work. And again, I'm a conservative. I believe that people should work and pay taxes. And I think 90% of these people, maybe 98, are willing to work hard, and they just want to come out of the shadow.
That's exactly right.
I mean, the kids from our school who are DACA kids are hardworking kids who are good students. I mean, Gene and I have been to a wedding for one of them. You know, we didn't educate these people to throw them out.
Yeah, that's the thing. You have people, we spend a tremendous amount of money educating them. They're great human beings. And we have to give them a chance to earn their place to be in this country and take advantage of what they've learned while they're here to our benefit. It's just common sense.
I can't say it better than you just said it. That's the perfect way to say it. Let's stop treating human beings like waste products and start treating them like humans, and then we'll get the benefits of their participation.
You have a website you want to mention for your group or a Facebook page or any of that?
Well, I don't do Facebook. I get in enough trouble without Facebook.
It's the American Business Immigration Coalition.
Yes.
So just
We're working very hard. We want to protect the DACA kids. We want to protect the people who are here first, as long as they're behaving. But when it goes beyond that, we think we need an immigration system that doesn't encourage people to be illegals.
I appreciate your time, John. I know you're a busy guy, and I hope you'll consider jumping on again whenever you'd like to talk about this, because I'm behind you 100%.
I'd be delighted. My friends and I work very hard on this because, to us, this is both an economic and a moral issue, and the more we know about it, the more they come together.
Yep. That's the power of this place. Thank you, John Rowe, Chairman Emeritus at Exelon. And what is it again?
It is the American Business Immigration Coalition. It's a lot of different business leaders in the state of Illinois, America, across the country, that have come together for immigration reform.
Musical director for this show, John DeCoss, has written a song about our move from the Tribune to 303 East Wacker. We'll talk about that in a second and play you the song.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Great combo with John Rowe.
Yeah, and
that's interesting.
He's got a lot of important things to say, and he's a mover and a shaker.
He also scared me when he kept saying, my friends and I. I'm like, who are these friends?
Yeah.
So nefarious. It's like, you know, Justice League or the Legion of Doom.
Well, he's not hanging around with people like you and I.
Meantime, back at the...
No, I mean, anybody that has that level of success,
right.
is, to extend your point, using it for good and not evil, behind him 110%.
And I can't wait till I get to a point in my life where I can say my friends and I.
Yeah, it's not going to happen.
Like,
John DeCoss is here, musical director for the program. John has written hit after hit after hit.
Yes.
And your latest piece of work... I almost stopped the piece, didn't I? Your latest piece of work is about the move from the Tribune Tower to here. What would you like to say to set it up?
Well, you know, all my songs are pretty funny. This one is not as funny.
It's a little more poignant.
It is a little more. It was done with a little more drama.
Piece.
Yeah, a little thought piece. So.
A tear in our eye?
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. But again, labor of love.
Would you like the listeners to cry as well?
Yes.
You started to lose it as well already?
A little bit, yeah.
John DeCoss, On the Move. What is this called? Is there a title?
You know, I don't know. I didn't give it a title.
On the Move.
Untitled.
On the Move.
We say goodbye. Tribune, we say goodbye.
Untitled from John DeCoss. Yeah. Let's just call it The Move.
The Move.
Here it is.
It's time to say goodbye, Tribune. You were more than a workplace, you see. You're historical, a brick-and-mortar Oracle Tribune, burned by fire and rebuilt in 25. And now we wave goodbye. And we move to 303 East Wacker.
across the river and up 18 floors. The move was just for God. Will take us time to just belong tribune. The sad part is we see you from our studio. And Todd Manley leaves no limit but up in the sky tribune. We are now state of the art. WGN receivers are tuned believers. They charge too much to stay tribune. They're charging rats and roaches rent tribune. Wally and Bobby, heaven sent, will miss you. We must move on now, Allstate Skyline Studio. With Cochran, Bill, and Wendy, John, and Roe Tribune.
Very heavy.
Very heavy. I know.
I was moved. Who else was moved?
I was very moved.
Everybody moved?
The Tribune, we were all moved. We moved from Tribune Tower to 303.
That's true. I moved a little bit to my right during the song.
What? And you played the piano on that?
I did. I played the piano on that. Christopher played the piano on that.
Occasionally, when you bring these to Christopher, you go, what?
Actually, all the time.
Christopher, your son. Nice job, buddy.
That was my little homage.
Yeah. So we're all going to have a good cleansing cry in a moment, even though we love our new place here at 303 East Wacker. If you'd like to hear all of John's music, give him money.
We refuse to be ignored by those who will not listen. There are so many things you can do to become involved. Reach out to your congressman. Mail, call, and tweet.
The smallest of words can make the biggest difference.
Be the voice for those who don't have one.
Together we have the power to change the world around us.
You're not gonna knock us down. We'll get back up again. You may have hurt us, but I promise we'll be stronger. And we're not gonna let you in. We're putting up a fight. You may have brought the dark, but together we will shine the light. You're not gonna knock us down. We'll get back up again. You may have hurt us, but I promise we'll be stronger. And we're not gonna let you in. We're putting up a fight. You may have brought the dark, but together we will shine the light. And whoa, we will be something special. Whoa.
That's the amazing voice of Sawyer Garrity. Sawyer Garrity and Andrea Pena wrote and performed that original song at the CNN Town Hall on gun violence. And Sawyer's here, along with David Petro. David Petro, a great Chicago story. He's got a very cool program that we're going to talk about here as well. Sawyer, welcome.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And David, nice to see you.
Thank you for having us.
Let's get your microphone on here. I'm learning all the new buttons here, buddy, so bear with me. Sawyer, first off, when grown-ups failed you guys, when grown-ups failed kids all over the country, you guys at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas have stepped up in an amazing way. I certainly hope you're as proud of yourself as we are of you for doing it.
Yeah, I think it's so amazing to see all of my classmates and students that I know just standing up and making such a difference in the world, especially with things like March for Our Lives and Change the Ref and all of those amazing organizations. There are so many more, too. And it's just so amazing to see everyone just coming together in such a horrible, horrible time.
And the song that you and... Is it Andrea or Andrea?
It's Andrea.
Well, I missed it twice, didn't I? The song that you and Andrea wrote... Yeah. Inspiration comes from a lot of different places, but did it just come in a rush?
So basically, I texted her and was like, I'm feeling so, so distraught. Like, I don't know what to do. I want to do something, but I don't know what, because we both aren't very, like, we don't want to get out there politically, just right. because that's like a personal standpoint. And so I texted her and I was like, we should just like write a song just because we have to, because it's, we both heal through music and it's something that we both like pour all of our emotions into. So I texted her that and she said, sure. And I was like, okay, we're never going to do this. And then, and then she like literally 10 minutes later was like, I was thinking this for like some chords, and like sent me a voice memo of chords. And I was like, oh my God. And I had, like,
so you two co-wrote it over the phone.
No, it started on the phone, and then I wrote the chorus as soon as she sent me that, and then I went over to her house and we like finished the song.
What a cool feeling it must have been.
Yeah, it was so healing and so therapeutic, just because music is such an outlet for me and it's such a place where I can just channel all my emotions.
We've seen that, Steve. I mean, the drama squad that was at the Tonys.
Yeah.
We've seen with the music that you've produced. Arts, they do have a healing property. How has that worked for you? How has the arts helped you get over the tremendous tragedy at your school?
I think just writing songs and always singing, always listening to music. I know the second I got home, all I did was play this one song on guitar over and over and over again. And then I just wouldn't stop listening to music. And I always listen to music, but it was just more and more the more like this happened. And it helped me so much.
Well, it's amazing too that your gift to have that amazing voice can help so many people.
Thanks.
And Dean Richards joining us here as well. And I know you're going over to talk to Dean at Channel 9 here in a few minutes. David Fetra's here as well. David has had nothing but success. Are you aware of that, David?
If you say so.
Disney, Nickelodeon, Broadway casting director, former Broadway performer yourself. Explain what College Breakthrough is.
Oh, thanks for asking. It is our brand new program from our Broadway Breakthrough brand, which brings 23 of the top performing arts universities all here to Chicago to teach a small group of students that have the very fortunate opportunity to take classes, audition, receive audition feedback, and then have the chance to win over $250,000 in college
scholarships. It's
amazing. Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really is cool, because these are kids who are going to be exposed to people working in the business, who've worked in the business for years, and you get to cut a lot of corners that way by learning some of the shortcuts and knocking away some of the stuff you won't need. But I have a feeling Sawyer's going to be a lot of attention there. She's going to get a lot of attention amongst the others, right?
Well, we have a lot of very talented
students. Oh, I don't
students.
Doubt that.
One is, Sawyer's one of many who is here, and we're so glad that she's here to be a part of the great week.
You know, Sawyer, I asked you off the air, but I think it's important for other kids to hear it as well. You guys have done so much. Your kids from Stoneman have done so much to get out and talk about it. Are you taking time for yourselves? You know, you got to grieve this whole thing. You're never going to get over it, but you got to be able to process it.
Yeah, I know that me and Andrea, what we've been focused on mainly is just helping people from our community heal through arts and music and dancing and theater. And so we actually opened a summer camp at the school called Shine MSD, and it's where kids can come and help heal through arts and music. And I know that I've been doing that too, personally.
The continuation of this is not just a grieving process, it's also a celebration. Celebration of success, because the breakthrough that you guys have met, I know David Hogg has been out there as one of the kids that's been really front and center, but you guys are really making things happen, and I know how frustrating it must be to see how slow legislation moves and how poorly grown-ups have handled this, but you guys have made a difference already.
Yeah, it's crazy to see how much people have been affected by this and how much people want to help. Like, the support that we've been getting is absolutely amazing, and yeah, change isn't going to happen overnight because laws do take a while, but I do have hope that there is going to be change.
Dean, say hi.
But good morning. I'm listening and admiring. I've been so moved by what you and your fellow students have done. I think it's profoundly moving, but I wonder if there's been negative feedback on this. I know anyone who has ever uttered a word against a lot of what's going on right now gets pounded with negative feedback. Have you guys also experienced that?
Andrea and I, a little bit. some people actually have been telling us that we didn't actually write the song. And I was like, okay, sure, whatever you think. But it's what it is, you know?
Well, based on what you've gone through, yeah. You know, the least of your worries are punks online at this point,
I would
assume.
Last thing I really care about. People can say what they want to say, but I know that what Andre and I are doing is going to help people in the long run, which is really what matters.
Sawyer was chosen for the Melody Hertzfeld Scholarship, and David, talk about why that's important.
It's profoundly changed our entire program. We've started brand new initiatives like Leaders in Theater and the Melody Hertzfeld Scholarship. I read this incredible story of the Stoneman Douglas drama teacher who saved 65 lives. And then we saw, when I first saw Sawyer myself, was on the CNN Town Hall, and I was so moved by how eloquent and poised and self-confident these students were. And I knew that had to come from drama. I knew that those were lessons that we learn within the theater. And I just reached out to Melody as from one educator to another, just to thank her for the gifts and for empowering these incredible students. And to my surprise, she picked up and answered. And I had no idea what I was going to say besides, you're incredible and I think you're amazing. And we ended up talking for a good hour, became very good friends, and I knew that I needed to do something.
You're pretty low-key about all this stardom.
She is, isn't she?
It's not.
Or is it just because it's this hour of the morning and you'd rather be sleeping?
No, it's just I don't really see it as anything like that. I just see it as me trying to help the people of my community.
Well, God bless you. That's exactly how you should see it. So I'm sure you come from a great family, and the arts program at your high school has got to be amazing, because the kids at the Tonys, were you part of that
No, Andre and I were actually singing at the Ford's Theater that day.
Oh, yeah.
Different
commitment.
Sure.
But those kids are amazing as well.
Yeah, everyone is so amazing, and we're such a big family. Like, everyone in the drama community, I think we're all just so close, even before everything happened. It's like, I can rely on these kids for anything.
Please pass it on to the other kids that are working so hard at this. Mm-hmm. And Justin, I need to back me up in this. Don't quit. Don't quit fighting. Because where grown-ups have failed, you guys are just starting to succeed. And without you guys being the engine behind this, I don't know how much change we're going to be able to make. And that's a lot of pressure to put on a bunch of high school kids. But if you guys hadn't gotten behind this, we wouldn't have made the strides we've made in the last couple of months.
Yeah.
So out of this horrible, horrible event, you really made a difference.
Thanks.
Thank you. Justin, last word.
I'm interested in what's the biggest takeaway, David. What do you think the biggest takeaway is from your week of classes at College Breakthrough?
That's a really great question. Well, you know, first with Sawyer and Melody, my goal was just to highlight these incredible people who took a tragedy and turned it into something spectacular through their art. And that's what I wanted to focus on. And that's why I got involved with Melody, and through Melody and I chose to bring Sawyer here together. My biggest takeaway from this is that education is everything. And to have access to an elite education, which I was so fortunate to have growing up here in Chicago, is very rare in our school system now. So to be able to provide that gap where the students can get a professional experience with the people who will make a difference in their future.
It's a huge deal.
Yeah, and then give them scholarships to actually achieve is our takeaway.
I know you're going over to Channel 9. Dean, you'll have him in just a minute here, and the mayor would like to talk to you a little bit off the air because he's so impressed with you as well. So we'll give you a couple of minutes to
I guess we can make that happen.
That's usually how we do things here at WGN. When you come on the show right afterwards, you get to talk to the mayor of Chicago. That's just how it's
it is every
just,
day.
You were playing Ford's Theater? I was asking the mayor to come over to see you. Thank you for what you've done so far. Thank you for
so
the continuing
for
work.
Me.
And, man, I can't wait to see how far you go.
Thank you.
It's going to be fun.
And the program is called College Breakthrough, and you can find it at broadwaybreakthrough.com/collegebreakthrough.
And more with Dean in a second. We'll be calling his name. Dean Richard. A little awkward going with Moron Entertainment now, huh, Dean?
I'll tell you what, that was profoundly moving.
The kid's something else.
When you hear, I mean, you see these kids on TV all the time, on the news, and, you know, it's sort of just become part of the news cycle. But when you hear sort of the humility of Sawyer, and how you know, just kind of second nature this whole thing is to them. That, of course, it's the right thing to do. And also moving that you point out of how the grown-ups have failed on this whole thing. And that, you know, these teenagers, these kids have stepped up to try to make the world a little safer for all of us, but in particular for students who are just going to school.
You know, Mayor Emanuel's here. You meet everybody at one time or another.
Nobody more exciting than Mayor Emanuel, though.
You know, no, I'm saying that Mayor Emanuel meets everybody. You're moved by a kid like that. I know how you feel about kids. You meet a kid like that, it's something else. Why am I not hearing you? There you go. Try it again.
There's always a level, not only the kids, but take Cleo Pendleton in the city who lost her daughter. Anybody that takes a personal pain, loss, suffering, and then turns it into trying to make sure there's a public good and nobody else has to walk in their moccasins, I admire. And so it's not just whether, yes, their youth and their activism, that is another dimension to it, but there are many, many people that have lost their own children and then decide, rather than just be in anguish, to try to make sure nobody ever experiences this again. And then you have to admire them because that's their own healing process and helping us ensure that we never forget that loss.
And so, you think, how could you wade back into what hurts the most?
Oh, my. I look, as a father of three, I would be wrapped around an axle. Yep. I'm not sure I'd ever get out of a fetal position. And for them to, I think in their own classmates, and she said that they were a tight-knit community, knowing that they had a responsibility and to kind of wake up the political system that had become tone-deaf. To gun violence.
And the tone deafness continues, which is why the kids have to continue to lead the adults.
Can I slightly disagree with you? Sure. I know it's your new studio, and I want to...
an important share story to get to, but please feel free to disagree.
Because I actually think this kind of blanket brush, everybody... there's no doubt that adults have failed, but, you know, there was a Brady Bill. There was an assault weapon ban that was passed. I had a personal role with it with President Clinton. It expired... And then it was a let to expire. And then there was a political an atrophy that happened and a paralysis in the system where the NRA and the gun lobby took over. But not all adults failed. Adults have responded. And I think that you should actually point the blame exactly which adults have failed, not collectively because we're above the age of 21. We collectively fail. Some have actually been pushing this change for a long time. So my own thing is, you are right. A number of adults have failed. And there's a number of adults who've been actually at the barricade pushing, and thank God we got some resources and the cavalry came. And so I would say, if you say all adults failed, I mean, there's a lot that adults have failed. And I'm not sure we're handing off a world better to our kids, but to just blanketly brush every adult above the age of 21 loses the history of those who actually made changes that were fundamentally different. And so
Did I say all adults?
Okay.
Steve,
okay. As you know, I am the official stenographer of the morning show, and I've just checked the tape. You did say all.
Okay.
And by the way, so did I.
Yes.
I 100% agree with
generalizations. Don't help anybody, but that's my generalization of the country.
I love you still, but no. Here's the thing, and I lost like years of my life trying to, you know, when we passed the assault weapon ban. In 1994 in the House, it passed by one vote.
Mm-hmm.
So not all adults failed. And we went up against the NRA. Wait a second. Hold on. Blah, blah, blah. I love you. Okay? I have altitude sickness up here on the 30th floor.
Yeah,
okay? And then it expired under President Bush, and he decided not to push it. And now the political system atrophied, and the NRA took over. And it took crisis after crisis to finally, at one point, boom, the system changed. And so... You're right. Adults failed. But a particular set of adults who are in the pockets of the NRA, and that's where you should put the finger on, not those who've been at the barricade for 20 years.
The current set of adults. All right, I'm giving up.
It's just it's just so frustrating that every time there's a school shooting, and then you think, well, certainly the government, the leaders, our leaders, are going to do something. More kids have just been killed, and nothing keeps happening. To the mayor's point, though, that's,
well, you know what it comes down to.
It's not everybody who's saying.
Here's what it comes down to: the rest of us can't fail. Get out and vote.
Yes,
yeah. Vote. Speak with the gift that you've been given to be an American. It's not just a privilege. Look, it's a duty.
Yes, citizenship is an active I don't want to say sport, an active participatory activity. And if you don't vote, and you also not just on election day, but also every other day, stay active, you're giving up on your responsibility for this great country, or the great city, or great state.
Yep, and that goes for kids, too. Encourage your kids to make sure they're registered and vote. Dean's talking entertainment all morning, including what Cher really thought of her musical. Thanks, buddy.
All right, man.
See you later. We're coming back with the headlines and more with Mayor Emanuel. We've got a lot to talk about, minimum wage increase, which is good news for you, Justin. It's exciting.
Justin, and I'm going to represent you from here
forward. Thank you.
Okay?
I appreciate
that's abusive.
I need that.
Okay.
Yes.
And more from Mayor Rahm Emanuel's favorite studio, live on the 18th floor of 303 Swacker, coming back at 720 WGN.
You don't know by now, I'm talking about Chi-Town.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Mayor Emanuel's here. Minimum wage day.
Yes.
More cops on the street. We're going to get to a bunch of different things here, but let's start with minimum wage.
Well, July 1, it goes up to $12. The state of Illinois is still stuck at $7.50, and we have then another year where it goes up to $13. And I fundamentally believe you should not work full-time and raise a child in poverty. And we have lifted thousands of kids out of poverty, made sure that work pays, literally. And I think if you combine it, and this should be a celebration, we had a five-year implementation of raising the minimum wage and making sure that families at work, actually that work is affordable. It gives you a standard of living. And more importantly, if children watch their parents go to work, it should mean something. There's a whole cultural and social, let alone the economic. And second, now if you partner it with our we're going to universal full-day pre-K, it means if working parents get is the same kind of benefits that poor children are getting from Head Start and wealthy children are getting that their parents provide for them. And so the minimum wage to me is a marker. We're on our fourth year. It's now up $12, and the next year it takes its biggest jump. And I think we should use this as the impetus to get the state of Illinois to finally raise the minimum wage and stop being a laggard.
Well, what do you say to people that say it's not a career, it's a starting job, and therefore you're encouraging people to stay in this and not encouraging them to push for other things?
Well, first of all, on the minimum wage, first of all, everybody, all the pessimists and all the cynics, oh, it was going to chase businesses out. We've had record business license and growth. Not true. It was going to make people leave to go to the suburbs. Not true. If you have a starting job, it should actually pay.
Mm-hmm.
And it should be an encouragement. And in fact, given the low unemployment and what's also happening, which companies are wanting to retain workers, you actually need higher wages to keep those workers. And that's why it's not been the threat that people or the kind of Darth Vader kind of evil that was conjured up. And in fact, you look at all the things that's happening on small businesses, all the growth that's happening around the city in the sense of small businesses, the minimum wage has actually helped companies retain workers and dedicated workers, which is one of the biggest costs and problems right now is finding qualified workers.
Well, there's a national movement, of course. We've read all about it in Seattle and Los Angeles, San Francisco, other places. Fight for 15, the idea that should be the baseline.
Yeah.
Why is Chicago settling at 12 or 13? Why not 13 fight for 15?
It's going to be 13. Well, first of all, let me be very clear, and that's why I said the state. Chicago's not an island. At a certain point, there is economic rules. And that's why we have done what we can, and we've encouraged now to take the battle to the state, and so we all grow together. Because if you end up with the state at 7.25 or 7.50, and Chicago at 15, that disparity becomes not an asset but a liability to be kind of in talking economic terms.
Well, it's too much of a hit, too, for businesses, right, if you do it all at one time.
At a certain point, there are still some economic rules. So my point is we have done what we should do, which is continue to help our workers, and now I want to use that energy and the gubernatorial race to put the minimum wage dead set. It hasn't raised and it hasn't increased in Illinois in almost a decade.
So the state of Illinois, if they could bring their minimum wage up, that would open the door for you to think about a 15.
Yeah, but also, let me put three policies together, because it's all in the day about a standard of living and work being respected. Increase the minimum wage. We're doing that. Full day free pre-K for all four-year-olds to equal the full day free kindergarten, which we didn't have until I became mayor. third is the expansion of the earned income tax credit. So if you're making below $30,000 or $40,000 a year, and you have children, you actually get a tax benefit and actually money back. And when you put all that, it makes work pay, and a family that works at a minimum wage doesn't raise a child in poverty.
More police on the street. I saw you running with the Academy grads this week. I think that's who you're running.
You want to join that?
The run? Yeah. You bet. I got a torn meniscus, but I'll limp along.
It's okay.
No, that doesn't matter.
You can actually, they have a, so I've tried to run with every class. That was, I think, my 10th run. We did, I always say my kind of cap is 10, and then they, in great Chicago police fashion, we do 4, and they said we thought it was 3.
Right.
So anyway, we put another 100 out and officers, and we're going to continue on our way to 1,000 officers. But I want to add to this, as I always do. Last week we had the biggest graduation, 230 officers. In 1 week from now, we have the largest summer jobs program, 32,000 kids. Officers are important. Summer jobs for our kids, cleaning lots, painting viaducts, working the beaches, and doing all the work and beautifying neighborhoods as part of the city. That is as important to the safety this summer.
Give a kid something to do.
Well, we all were products of summer jobs.
Yeah.
It's not only a paycheck, which means you're not in your parents' wallet, but more importantly, you're learning the values and there's of showing up for work. You're learning the values that comes with a paycheck, the structure that comes with that. And that is as important as the 1,000 additional officers. And I keep reminding people, our summer jobs, our mentoring, our after-school program, stiffer penalties around carjacking, and then making sure parents do their job raising kids knowing right from wrong.
Superintendent Eddie Johnson was talking about those stiffer penalties last time he was on the show. But there's also, and we brought this up and we took calls from people, even just in the suburbs, everybody has family visiting Chicago in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And just trying to have people understand that the national media image of the city, that it's some old west shoot 'em up town, is ridiculous.
Yes.
And one of those things is making sure that Michigan Avenue in particular and State Street and the Loop area where most of the tourists tend to congregate is safe. What do you say to people who think it's not?
Well, first of all, there is a fact. Yeah, our tourism in the city every year for the last 5 years is up at record highs, and now we're north of 55 million. Second is we have a responsibility not only for where tourists go, but where our citizens go. And so Michigan Avenue has to be safe, but so does 63rd Street have to be safe.
Sure.
And State Street has to be, or the Riverwalk, or the lakefront has to be safe, but so does, 79th Street. And our responsibility is to make sure that every part of the city is safe for the families, children, and tourists, and not just residents. And we're ensuring that. And we have a lot of work ahead of us. But I want to compliment the superintendent, the police department, the rank and file, for doing a yeoman's work every day. And not just policing. We have officers who are running and organizing Little League teams, who are out and making sure activities in the neighborhood and community and doing things that don't get herald every day.
Yeah, it doesn't end at the end of their shift.
Right. And we should know that the superintendent's philosophy and mine is, in the end of the day, we don't want you just to police a neighborhood. We want you to be a part of it.
Yep.
And that's happening all the time. And it doesn't get recorded. There are bad incidents. I get it. And that has to be dealt with. The fact is, we shouldn't lose sight of officers who go the extra mile to be good citizens, not just good police officers.
Yeah. Quick break and then we're going to take the last few minutes of Mayor Emanuel's free time. Would this be your executive time, where you call your friends and tweet, or is that somebody else?
No, first, you know what I try to do when I ever have free time? I try to make sure that my kids know that I love them, and I always call them or text them or something and just say, miss you, love you. I don't know if you do
so this, I'm but taking Abby, that away from you, is what you're saying?
Yeah. How does that feel?
All right.
Now, the other thing is, don't worry about right one thing, is I actually, so I do this Monday, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. After I swim and work out, I bring coffee to Amy upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's already been taken care of, so you don't have to worry about that you did that. But you are kind of encroaching on father role, okay? Not husband role.
And you
okay with that?
But being a fellow dad. A little bit.
Just a tad.
You can have those.
There is a your soul in Steve Parker.
Oh, I'm honorary family. No, I always have been.
Let me say this. I'm giving you 5,000 years of crushing Jewish mother just coming down, taking your soul, and stomping on it until you just bleed
guilt.
How does it feel?
Thank you, Mrs. Emanuel.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Back now with just a couple minutes left with Mayor Emanuel. So that mayor's race.
Yeah.
It seems to have sort of leveled off at 147 candidates.
148. You missed the other one.
Somebody just signed up.
Oh, yeah.
When does it start to get to the point where you're throwing on commercials, they're throwing on commercials, and they start?
Here's my thing. If you're, I'm going to continue to lay out as not only the minimum wage and talk about free universal full-day pre-K, talking about what we're going to do to make sure there's affordable housing for everybody in the city, and that the if you want to continue to live in your neighborhood, even though it's improving economically, you'll have the opportunity to do that with our housing policies as we're looking at it. I'm going to lay out ideas, but the most important thing is anybody knows who's been mayor. We actually fought and beat the governor in making sure that we got equitable funding for education for our children. There's an election before the mayoral election. It's called the gubernatorial election. And if you know anything about Chicago, you know about its relationship with the state of Illinois. Electing J.B. Pritzker is going to be essential to the success over the next 4 years for the city of Chicago to continue to invest in our schools, continue to invest in our public safety, and our transportation. There'll be a time for a mayoral election in the sense of a campaign. We're not anywhere close to that.
All right. I have concerns about both candidates for governor, including J.B. Pritzker, from Joe Berrios and property tax issues. All of it's not just campaign fodder. And I understand that you could work with Pritzker, and that's great, and that's good for everybody. But there's fair questions to ask about him as well.
Well, here's the thing, Steve. Last week, the governor and I said to the governor, I'm going to fight for the idea of having the University of Illinois invest and create a new computer science engineering school right here in the city of Chicago. It's going to be on what's called right near Roosevelt. And the governor said, you'd stand with me? I said, it's great for Chicago. I'll stand with you.
Right.
And a lot of people say, oh, you can't do that. It's not going to be. If it's good for Chicago, I don't care. And I was clear to him. I would go to an event, announce it, and also push the legislature to fund that $500 million in creating a state-of-the-art computer science and engineering school, which, like O'Hare, is so important to Chicago's job creation over the next 40 years. But on other issues, when the governor tried to hold back funding for Chicago public school students and keep them second-class citizens, I said, not a chance. And my view is, if it's good for Chicago, I'll be there. And I actually disagree as, let's go back. We're announcing and celebrating today the raise of the minimum wage to $12.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
J.B. Pritzker, as governor, is going to make sure that happens in the state of Illinois after nearly a decade of it not happening. And so I would say to you, there is a fundamental difference.
They're tying it all together, whether minimum wage, summer jobs, the violence, everything we've been talking about, even the tourism downtown. The city, and it's not a problem just for the city of Chicago, it's a problem around the world. But we are getting more and more into a world that has the haves and the have-nots.
Mm-hmm.
And inequality is rearing its head in Chicago in ways that we haven't seen before. How do you see it as mayor to see that we have seen that the middle class is vanishing, that there's rich and there's poor? How do you see the way that this is breaking down in the city of Chicago?
Well, so here's let me just take one step back and then where I put my energy. I remember when I was chief of staff for President Obama, at the height of unemployment, when it hit like nearly 11%.
Mm-hmm.
The unemployment rate for people with a college degree never went above 4.9%. Even when it was in the worst recession in American history since the Depression. And you just had a speaker on beforehand, a student, and you also have our teacher.
Mm-hmm.
Education begins, ends, full stop, both home, school, and rest of life. We've now pushed ourselves where our graduation rate from high school was 56, it was last year 77.5, and it's on its way north. We've made community college free. We've got to push past high school as our responsibility, that every child has to go post-high school education. That's going to give them a ticket, we're in a period of time where you earn what you learn. And so if you're going to make sure there's a middle class, you're going to make sure that people don't have just a job but a career. Yes, it's about a minimum wage. Yes, it's about free pre-K, universal full day. But it's also about making sure that high school is not the end of our responsibility. It's a milestone, not a destination. And by making sure through the Chicago Star Scholarship, which I want to remind everybody, is the only college scholarship in the United States publicly funded that also a dreamer can get. 72% of the kids who use the free community college are the first ones in their family to go to college, ever. And to me, that's on the income side. I would also say to you that on our you want a growing central business district to then be able to fund your after school, your summer jobs, and your neighborhood improvements. It's not pitting one side of the city against the other, but we have to recognize over the last 50 years, it's a tale of two investments and the disparity of those investments. And now we're seeing the repercussions of that. And we have to make sure through transportation, through libraries, schools, public safety, that you create the conditions for a neighborhood like Washington Park, like what's happening in Woodlawn, like what's happening in Brownsville, to take hold, which is why now all of a sudden grocery stores are moving in and small businesses are starting to flourish. And over the years, those investments were made. But in the end of the day, which is why I ran for office, we're going from a K to 12 to a pre-K to college, and to deal with income inequality, you got to deal with education inequality.
Last question. This immigration mess has never been a bigger cluster. We see these kids, regardless of how you feel about the immigration argument, no child should be torn away from their parents in that way. These kids are sitting on concrete floors in what amounts to fenced-in areas. It's outrageous. What can people in Chicago do to make a difference?
Well, first of all, there's two pieces, both in the city and outside the city. You have to continue to raise your voices that this is not America. This is not who we are. And we have to actually more than just shame Donald Trump and his administration to back off of a policy that every president could have enforced a zero tolerance. Democrat and Republican presidents knew it was wrong, because that would be an image and a picture of America that was contrary to the ideals of America. But only this president, this attorney general, thought it was consistent, and they're wrong. Number two, here in the city of Chicago, there's, I think, 66, 67 kids that have been sent. You are right in this level. The Heartland Alliance is, quote-unquote, housing them until they get reunited with their family. I have been personally in touch with the head of Heartland Alliance. They actually used to work for my administration, Evelyn Diaz, ran Family Services, about what we can do, that it's more than just housing, providing the kids both educational support while they're in Chicago.
Activities,
but also, you know, educational, everything that will take care of them in the full length. Now, remember, they're not one age, and there's also federal rules. So we have to checking it out right now, and then we're going to see what we're allowed to do, and to make sure that we're more than just housing the kids until they get reunited, but that the time is not lost here and they have a different memory than the one that the Trump administration deemed on them.
As you said, it's not America.
There are other incidents in history. The idea that a country that has stood for the values of freedom and liberty, opportunity, would literally at the borders, whether that's on our southwest border or at our coast, would rip a child from their parent. Now, I'm going to tell you one very important story.
Okay.
Remember the firefighter? You're at the new building.
Yeah.
Busio. Right down here is the fire station.
Now, this is
the station, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I went to the service. And his pastor told a story about when his mother brought the 9 siblings across the Rio. As they were coming across the Rio, they realized that one of the siblings they had left behind on the tree. What we now know is firefighter Busio goes across the Rio, gets his brother, and brings it back. Because the mother said, I'm not going anywhere further until we're all together as a family.
Right.
And that's where the pastor gave that as a genesis of a story of his love of water, swimming, but also what America represented to the mother and what it meant to be a family together.
That's
you fast forward now, that's the Busio family.
Right.
And I want everybody to remember this. He is a firefighter.
Right.
Who was a cop beforehand. His brother was a cop beforehand, became a firefighter. His sister is a police officer. Under this administration, Mom Busio would be separated from the 9 children. And probably the 9 siblings would be spent in different places. This is an immigrant family that saw the promise of America and saw the promise of Chicago. He became a firefighter who risked his life to save somebody he never knew. They came across the same water that were ripping kids away from their parents. We have it in our midst, and thank God for Mom Busio, who saw the promise of this country, came here, raised kids in a certain sense of value and the opportunity of being Americans, and their three of the nine siblings, a third of the family, is dedicated to public safety in this city.
To take care
and
of
so
the rest
when you
of
look
us.
At the pictures on the southwest side, southwest border of the America.
Think about the Busios.
Think about the Busios and think about that story from the pastor who told that story because she said we're not going a step further. He goes back, gets his brother, and brings them.
Right.
That is the pastor's story at his funeral.
It's heartbreaking and it's inspirational. It reminds you why we're here.
Mm-hmm. Everybody knows this. The one thing I can say complimentary to Donald Trump, he's brought people from many different views who disagree about issues together in opposition to this policy because they know it's un-American.
And it's unfortunate I had to come to that, but you're right. Thanks for the extra time.
Yep.
Good to see you. Mayor Emanuel, back with the news in a moment, and hi to everybody at CLTV. Next.
I got it. I'm patched in.
All right, let me hear it.
Now, from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
We're locked. Systems check out. Signal across the board. What's the frequency?
It's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
917, I got a text from the former House Republican leader, Tom Cross.
Really? He's just texting you.
Who is in partnership with John Roe. On the immigration story. So appreciates the...
See, he's one of the friends.
Yeah, appreciates the opportunity to have that moderate voice heard. So that's a good thing.
John Roe kept saying, my friends and I. And it was very nefarious, like they were superheroes or something.
Yeah, superheroes, or it did sound like, hey, my friends and I, we have a request.
Yeah, a lot of questions about who those friends were.
But John, it's been a busy show. John Roe, it was great to have him on to talk about that side of immigration. A great kid of the week this morning.
Yeah.
Phenomenal Stone and Douglas student in studio.
Sawyer Garrity.
Sawyer Garrity.
She sang Shine on CNN. When the
song she wrote.
Yeah, song she wrote.
And Mayor Emanuel just left. Any thoughts on the mayor?
Yeah, I think that his answer to how you deal with inequality in the city of Chicago, which is a huge issue, not just here, all around the country, is education. As you heard, that seems to be where he said full stop, and then he went on for... after full stop. But the idea being that he believes that the way to get there is to expand pre-K, universal pre-K, which is free, and also give opportunities to go to college. You can't argue with that. The question is whether or not that's going to be successful in the long run.
Yeah, and my point about Pritzker remains, and that is he needs to get on this show, get in other places, not take the Mike Madigan route and not talk to the media, talk to the media and talk to the voters. Not out of his own wallet and a controlled message that he's delivering, but answer questions, including questions about his property tax mess that he created.
I wonder if a Pritzker, let's say Pritzker wins the election come November, the relationship between Emanuel and Pritzker is pretty solid in the fact that Pritzker has raised a lot of money from Rahm Emanuel over the years. I wonder if you'll see a much more aligned Chicago, Springfield, when you talk about issues like the minimum wage, other issues that are important to the mayor, we'll see much more aligned state of Illinois if that happens.
There's always going to be a banging of heads because there are things that matter to the whole state that will negatively impact Chicago and vice versa.
It's kind of amazing to me, it's startling that the state of Illinois' minimum wage is $7.50. And only because...
Is that the national number? I don't know.
I think it's higher than national. I don't know what it is anecdotally, but just doing a search quick, the big cities around the country, Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, New York City's on its way up, the state of New York, there's 18 or 20 states that are actually looking at $15 as the minimum wage. So for the city of Chicago to compromise and do 12 and 13, yes, it's an improvement and of course a huge improvement on what the state offers, but it's still below what most Democrat states and cities are pushing for when it comes to the minimum wage.
Well, I remember when I was making $15,000 a year and I got a raise to $30,000 a year, and I literally said to myself, I will never need another dime. So when you're making 13, 15 is a big jump. If you're making 15, you're going to want to make more. There's two sides to that argument. It incentivizes people to continue to grow as individuals in whatever job they can and are doing. The other side of that is when is enough enough, and at some point it does affect businesses because the people that supply that minimum wage, small and medium-sized business owners, they've got a stake in this too.
There is a startling statistic is that many of Chicago residents who are getting paid the minimum wage, a lot of them are women of color, and women of color with children. So the stereotype of what we think to be someone who's on minimum wage, a kid who's working at the McDonald's and this is his first job before he goes to college, is not accurate anymore. This is when we talk about the haves and the have-nots in the city and inequality, you're seeing a lot of the population, a forgotten population, working at that minimum wage because that's all that the medium to small businesses are going to offer.
And oftentimes those women are working multiple jobs at minimum wage.
And that's the other
point.
Trying
to raise their children.
And the mayor was, and we thank him for his time, but the other point as well when it comes to inequality is those summer jobs, and along with jobs just in general, the president likes to tout the low unemployment numbers, and like to talk about summer jobs. But if you're paying a kid $12 an hour, $15, even $15 an hour, and you're going to do it for a six-week period of time, yes, all those things about discipline and great work ethic and getting to see the world, that's great. But if you're a kid who's living on the south side of Chicago and you're slanging drugs or doing whatever you're doing to make money, you're making a lot more than that. And I don't think that should be right. I'm not advocating for that. But I think that the economics are out of whack in the sense that the opportunities that are being provided, the jobs that are there, the unemployment rate, all these people are hiring, but the rates of what the cost or what the salary is, what the hourly wage is, they're not at the level that they need to be to see people remove themselves from poverty and move to the middle.
And if the fight for 15 is 15, 15 is going to be that way for a while. So those folks that will be making 15 have to adjust accordingly, the same way you have to adjust accordingly.
Since 2009, the federal government mandated a nationwide minimum of $7.25 an hour. As of January in 2018, there's 29 states with a minimum wage higher than the federal minimum.
There you go.
Okay. And it can't be done on a state level.
And it's surprising because the state of Illinois is Democrat. I mean, it's run by the House and Senate, Mike Madigan. Surprising that they haven't picked up what is a political hot button.
I remember
issue.
When Madigan was on the show. No, actually, he's never been on the show because he refuses to come on. J.B. Pritzker and Mike Madigan invited. Bill Russell. Here's a transition for you.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Russell, all-time NBA great. What did he do Monday night at the NBA Awards? It's got him all over the news today. Because my question when we come back is, what have your grandparents said or done that maybe they just did because they could, because they got to an age where they just didn't care anymore? I'll tell you that story in a second.
Actually, when you say they're older, what age group are we talking?
They're 60s.
Wow.
Yeah, they're 60s.
So they're kind of dead.
Oh, yeah. No way.
But she's an old lady. I mean, look at her. She's old. You can't just take her stuff. She's too old.
They're older. I wasn't trying to...
Yeah. Yeah. They're not old, but they're older.
No, older. This old guy?
He's already achieved so much. He has a five-year plan.
What is it? Don't die?
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
One of the greats in the NBA of all time is Bill Russell, who was always kind of a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. But when he played for the Celtics and won, I think, 11 titles?
Yes, just 11.
He was the guy that said what he wanted to say when he wanted to say it, and that's when he was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Monday night at the NBA Awards, Charles Barkley was on stage presenting or accepting, I'm not sure which, and mentioned the great Bill Russell in some form, and Bill Russell flipped them off on TNT.
Awesome.
His response this morning is, sorry, everyone, I forgot it was live TV. I can't help myself whenever I see Charles. It's just instinct. So here's the question. We'll do this as a text question tomorrow, but I can ask you guys now. What is your older loved ones, your grandparent, your parents, what have they said or done in public that you can't believe they said or did in public? Because everybody should have an old guy story. And it's mostly old guys, but it can be the old lady as well. Because you know what? It's like Seinfeld said. They all moved to Florida, and they're backing up. And you better get out of the way, because they're backing up. They're getting the car, and they're backing up. It's up to you to get out of the way. So anybody got an old person story?
Yeah, my dad is not old. He's in early 70s, but the...
That's old.
Old, okay.
And your dad knows
it. We went
old.
To Disneyland in spring break, and it was so fun because, you know, it was there with Miles. And my dad goes up to the cart where the kid's sitting, the 17-year-old kid is, like, working. He's like, oh, yeah, how much for a Diet Coke? And the guy's like, $3.75. He's like, oh, weird, because over at the other place, it was $3.50.
I know.
Yeah, and he's like, well, that's downtown Disney. This is Disneyland, sir. And he goes, you got all the answers, don't you? He says it to the 17-year-old kid, and I go, "What are you doing? Do you want a Diet Coke? I'll pay for it." He goes, "I didn't want a Diet Coke. I just wanted to mess with him." Like, he just wanted to make a point
just
about
because he could.
Just because he could.
Andrew,
I think it was my grandma on my dad's mom when I was working in Peoria, met one of my radio bosses and asked him to give me a raise right in front of me.
And wasn't kidding.
Was not kidding. She would threaten to beat anybody up that would talk bad about me or would threaten me. So she was 4'10".
Nice.
But a spark plug, you know?
Yeah.
Sandberg?
When the president was running for election and the Billy Bush stuff came out, my mother-in-law told me that any girl should be flattered if a guy
like that. Come on!
She's very conservative, and she really likes the president, and so she thinks that that's just boys being boys.
Flattery.
That ain't flattery, kids.
She's also not that old, I don't think. She's 74, or 75.
Listen, it's nice of you guys to say that, but I'm 57, and I'm old. 70's old. John?
I had a relative, my wife's uncle. We were at breakfast, and the woman came over. She had a lot of perfume on, the waitress. And he sat back and he goes, "How can you ask people what they want for breakfast when you smell so bad?"
Wow.
And
wow.
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, kind of unnecessary. Yeah.
It was.
You want to get
tipped big.
I'm sorry, but then there's people that are older that are so impressive. Walter Jacobson works here still, and he sits outside of our office.
Yeah, Walter's 80.
He is hunting down stories and confirming contacts and things. Like, he was doing a story on, maybe I shouldn't say, but he's like so lucid on top of it, and he wouldn't walk around and say what my mother-in-law said. So.
He also occasionally comes in undercover, you know, dressed in different costumes. You don't know who's sitting.
Right on Lower Wacker Drive, right here.
I had a grandmother who was, and I've got a few of these, but I'll save the rest for tomorrow. I had a grandmother who in an elevator, and we've all experienced this. Someone in the elevator was a little gassy.
Mm.
And at the top of her lungs, "Who farted? Who was?" There's three people in the elevator. It's me, Granny, and the guy. Longest elevator ride in history. Oh,
did you get to the bottom of that the investigation?
Didn't need Columbo. We knew what we knew who the perp was. You can text early, and we'll get to them probably on tomorrow's program instead of today, but we'll maybe get a couple in before the end of the show. 312-981-7200. Stories about the old folks in your life who say what they say because they can, and they do it when they want to. 312-981-7200. All right, back with the headlines in a moment on 720 WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
I mean, this story comes out of a tragic situation. We know that suicide numbers have gone through the roof. The incidence of teen suicide is tragically going up as well. And obviously the celebrity suicides in the past month, the military suicides have gone every day. I've lost two friends, as longtime listeners know, to it as well. And until we as a society start accepting depression, mental illness of all kinds, the same way that we do cancer and heart disease and everything else, the problem will continue. There's a story that we want to tell you today, and Jen Pedley is here. Jen lost her son, Isaac. Asher is Isaac's brother. And thank you for everything you've done so far, but certainly for coming in to talk as well.
Oh, thank you for having us.
Tell me about Isaac. What kind of kid was he?
Ugh, a goofball. A goofball.
Nothing but fun?
Nothing but fun. Never met a stranger. I think that's the thing that everyone tells us about Isaac, is he had little rituals throughout the day. He'd pass kids in the hall. He was a freshman. So women, you know, every freshman girl, I said, was at his funeral, and they'd all say, "I passed him between second and third hour," and he'd say hi to me and say, "Hey, you know, I like your shirt." And every day he'd have some other new...
Made other people feel
new
good.
...new compliment. Always. Always. Yeah. He had 10 friends over, a couple days before he died.
Asher, big brother or little brother?
Big brother.
Oh, sorry, buddy. Let me get your mic on. You said big brother?
Yeah, big brother.
Tell me about Isaac.
He was a really great brother. He's just had a big heart, and he just loved people, very friendly, and... Always wanted to put himself behind others and Yeah.
And cared for everybody.
Yeah, he just was really caring, had a big heart.
He had a place that he loved to go, and that place was Mod Pizza.
It was.
And the Mod Pizza in downtown Naperville, right? Right on Washington there on Main?
Yeah, we can walk there from our house.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And why was Mod Pizza his hangout?
Well, it all started when they first opened, and he walked in, and they all said hello. Because that's what they do at Mod Pizza.
So he became Norm from Cheers?
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. A reference that only some of the audience will understand.
Yeah.
And did you guys go with him at any point, or was it his joint?
You know, he went with his buddies, and they also, you know, he kind of got called he won the title Mayor of Mod because he would bring in new friends every day. You know, it was kind of like a point system.
Sure.
I get 3 points today. I brought in three new people.
I love Mod, and it's a great concept, and it's growing every day. And the co-founder is on the phone. So how does all of this tie together? Let me bring in Allie here. Allie Svensson is the co-founder of the Mod Pizza chain. Allie, how are you?
Hi. I'm great. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. And, Jen, I don't know if it was therapy, a need to do it, or just, you know, one of those things that happens. But you wrote a letter, and you sent that letter to Allie. Allie read it. By the way, I believe there's a video online of Allie reading the letter. That's mm-hmm. very powerful. And now your son Isaac's going to have a pizza named after him, right?
Yeah. 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 That was his pizza. Yeah.
So the one that he came in and ordered every day. But anyway, talk a little bit about why this is important to you and Mod as well.
Well, I mean, it has to be important to everybody. I think when you're made aware of things that are so powerful, and the letter that Jen and Ken, that the Pedley family sent to us, myself and my husband, you know, really, it stopped us in our tracks. We, for so many reasons, all of the obvious reasons, but then when we also really thought about it and we realized the relationship that had developed between Isaac and Eric, who's the general manager of Naperville, we really started to pay attention to that because, you know, we're growing very quickly. We have over 355 mods around the country now, and when we think about every one of our locations and we think about the squad, our mod squad that is there, connecting with each other, connecting with their communities, and understanding how powerful those connections can be and how important they can be in somebody's life. And as heartbreaking, which the story is so heartbreaking, what happened with Isaac, but there's such beauty in it too, and Jen did such an incredible job explaining that to us. It really was the most incredible letter I've ever received. I'm getting emotional right now as I think about it.
Well, it's understandable, and everybody that talks about this and goes through the experience, I'm sure has the same. I think the important question to you guys is, what's on an Isaac?
Well, hold on. Before we talk about the incredible toppings on the Isaac, which are actually different from the toppings that Isaac himself would have probably put on his pizza, I know that for sure. But
only a 13-year-old boy would order.
Well, and listen, I'm a mother of four boys, so all of my boys would choose Isaac's original pizza over the Isaac pizza that we have created. But back to the letter just for a second so that it's understood. With Mod, we sat with that for a little while, and we thought, well, what can we do? What can we do in a situation like this? And we realized, because from the beginning, for us, we've never been building Mod to be the greatest pizza concept in the world. We've been building Mod to make a difference, and it's always been, you know, purpose-led and people-focused. And this experience and this awareness that the Ashers, or that Jen and Ken and Asher gave us about Isaac, was really a call to action. And we thought, we've got this incredible platform, and we need to use it. But we need help using it.
Yeah, you have a lot of kids that hang out at Mod.
My goodness. Absolutely. Oh, that's correct. Yeah. Customers. But then our Mod squad, you know, over 70% of them are in this age bracket that can be so at risk, and that weighs heavily on us. We first and foremost always take care of our squad. That's what we start with.
And the Isaac story is something that all these kids need to hear.
And they can relate to.
Well, let me go to Big Bro here. What was the original Isaac? Do you know what the original Isaac was?
Okay, so the original Isaac is red sauce, cheese, and then every meat except for anchovy, spicy sausage, and salami.
and barbecue sauce on top.
Barbecue sauce on top?
Yes, barbecue sauce. Yeah.
Barbecue sauce on top, because you can only eat that. John, you can back me up on this.
It's not a light lunch.
You get over 30, and you're going to need need the Prilosec truck outside.
It's by far the highest calorie count on the board.
For sure.
Now, you've made some slight modifications to the named Isaac.
Well, we did, because we knew we wanted to shine. The whole point of this thing is to really shine a light where a light is needed and create more awareness around mental health and suicide prevention. And to do that, to use our platform of pizza, we wanted to use our entire seasonal pizza that everybody would be paying attention to and drawn to. It will run for 3 months, and it has roasted grape tomatoes on it and this incredible balsamic vinaigrette drizzle that goes on there. And it's actually it's an olive oil base, garlic and ricotta and red onion. I mean, it's very beautiful. You can see a picture of it on our website now. It just came up this morning. It's a seasonal pizza, which we will be promoting heavily in store and everywhere else. And then as and when people understand that this is a very special pizza, it's our first ever impact pizza, we hope that as needed, they'll be connected to Jed, and we'll heighten the awareness around where people can go and how people can take care of each other when they need to.
Well, you mentioned Jed. We should explain what Jed is. Were you aware of Jed as a social worker?
I was not. I immediately went to their website and started reading and was blown away.
Let's talk in a second more, Allie, if you would, about the Jed Foundation.
Jed Foundation has been going for, I think, 18 years. They're based in New York. They exist to protect emotional health and prevent suicide for our nation's teens and young adults. And they're all about encouraging community awareness. And they do this in all sorts of interesting ways. And when we approached them and said, listen, we need help. We want to be used. We want the platform of MOD to be used to help somehow with this issue in our country. And what do you think? And they've just been incredible to work with. They have a chief medical officer, Dr. Vic Schwartz, who has helped us every step of the way, every bit of material that's been pulled together. They're just so thoughtful. And one of the best things that they've reminded us of is you don't need to be medically trained to be helpful. It's really about making these connections and asking
listening.
Somebody that you care about.
Yeah, asking somebody to care about what they might be sad about or what's on their heart and listening. That's it's a huge deal. Justin?
For this day to come for you, Jen, to the pizza to be announced and for the influence and impact of the letter that you wrote to be out there now, do you look back at it and see that letter as a moment of change for you, or a moment that essentially honors the spirit that is Isaac? Or was it just an act of therapy that you wanted to let Maude know that they were helpful to yourself?
No. I mean, well, I suppose yes. Of course it was an act of therapy for me as well. But I had initially sent a letter to, I don't know, customer service, or I didn't even know, before Isaac had passed away, that just wanted them to understand what a rock star I thought Eric Kowalski was and what he was doing for these boys.
This is the local
in our
manager.
Community. He's this big guy with all tatted up and just a big teddy bear.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing bigger than Eric is his heart.
Right.
Yes.
And he meant a lot to your son.
A ton. And so I wasn't really sure how much those kudos had made it around. And so after a year had passed, I just needed Maude to know what they had done.
And obviously,
not just for Isaac, but also now for Asher.
Yeah, exactly. And your family benefit from this is knowing that the legacy for Isaac is, for starters, $50,000 has been donated by Maude to the Jed Foundation.
Can't even.
It's a wonderful
words.
Thing. Thank you for the generosity as well. Asher and Jen, if you could, you know, there's families that are struggling. There's kids that are struggling now. What do you want to say to them?
My advice that I give to a lot of my peers is just to be grateful for your siblings. And, I mean, a lot of siblings don't talk to each other, fight all the time. And I kind of just say, like, forget about the things that don't really matter. Just think about what's important and spend time together and do things for each other.
It's a great message, dude.
Yeah.
Great message.
You don't know how lucky you are until you don't have what you're blessed with anymore.
And Jen Pedley, I'm going to give you the last word.
Yeah.
And I know this isn't easy, and I appreciate your courage to be here.
Sum up everything in one sentence, right? Isaac really was a victim of his impulsive adolescent brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it, but I keep saying it because it's true. This could have been anybody's kid. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But I think the national conversation that's starting to happen around suicide, especially with teens and young adults, because until a kid is 25, 26, we know their frontal cortex is not fully developed. The reasoning mechanism is not what an adult's is.
Right.
So it's a special conversation. It's a different conversation that we need to have. And I'm so grateful. I still am just sort of in shock that this has all really happened, because it's more than I could have ever. I'm thrilled.
He's guiding it.
And he would be. His pictures on the wall, Ahmad and the pizza and all of it. I mean, I don't think he would stop smiling.
Imagine how good that heaven location for Ahmad is, right? I mean,
they have meats up there you've never
even heard of. That's
no
exactly
guilt
right.
either.
Right. Allie, thank you. And it's not an easy thing to even watch you read the letter, but I think it's important for people to do it. And I would just encourage all of you talk, but mostly listen. Listen.
Correct.
And I think it's key. And thanks for the Jed Foundation work as well.
Yes.
Thanks, Allie, very much. And thanks to you guys. And I want you to know, you and I are practically neighbors anyway. when you guys need to have something big mouth, let me know.
Oh, you bet.
We will be
you
your
bet.
Big mouth.
You bet. Well, now you're off my bucket list now, right?
Check it off.
I've done your show.
Yeah, but you're welcome here.
I
want you to know that.
It. You have no idea.
You're a great mom. And Asher, you seem like a great big brother, dude.
Thank you.
He is.
Someday I'll have a chance to ask Isaac the truth about you, but you seem like a great big brother.
He might say differently about some things.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much. God bless you.
Thanks
both.
For having us.
And your family. It is 9:57. Bill and Wendy coming up. Some days at work it's harder than others, but it's always rewarding. And I appreciate you listening, and hope you'll come back tomorrow when we do this again. Bill and Wendy are here. Well, thanks, John, for the song about the move.
That was beautiful, earlier. By the way.
Touching. Gosh. Yes. I guess moving is what he said earlier.
Moving.
The move
moving.
And Bill and Wendy are here, as I mentioned. What are you guys doing today?
We have tickets to give away for Peter Pan. Bill is WGN's Peter Pan. Do you realize
kidding.
That?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, well, and you would be Wendy.
Yes, yeah. Works out that way.
Yeah, see how that works
and
out.
You're Nana.
Depends on the day.
I have a quick question, Steve. Yeah. I didn't get to hear your whole show, but did any mayors of any major U.S. cities refer to you as Bubala at any point during the show?
Yes.
Yes.
That happened today?
Hey, Bubala came out of Rahm Emanuel's mouth.
That was a great moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Although it sounds better when you interrupt someone to say, I love you, Bubala.
I'm going to steal that.
Bubala, yeah, I love you, but.
I'm using that in any marital argument from here on out.
Oh, really?
I love you, Bubala, but somehow, you do the dishes.
Somehow I see you losing that fight.
Yeah.
Here's Bill and Wendy. See you tomorrow.